You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hello? Hey, yo, scumbag. Hey, suck your own. Eat me. Hey, same to you, buttface. Mom says hi.
Obviously, it's affecting emotionally.
I am emotionally.
Talk to me a little bit.
Well, I grew up here. I live here. And I just play football here. And I can't believe anybody's going to close this damn thing down. And I'm a carpenter. I couldn't. Shit.
It's got you that upset.
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding? It's like stupid. Why would they shut down this library?
You grew up with this library?
Definitely. I grew up on Decatur Street.
So you've been here, coming here your whole life?
Basically, yeah.
Toby, who the f*** is Toby? Oh, Toby's that little Chinese girl. Who's the last name?
What's that?
That's an old address book I found on a coat I haven't worn in a coon's age. Chu, Toby Chu. Wow.
Give me that.
Now, what the hell do you think you're doing? Give me my book.
I'm sick of fucking hearing it, Joe. I'll give it back to you when we leave.
What do you mean when we leave? Give me it back now.
For the past 15 minutes now, you've been droning on about names. Toby. 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 Toby Wong. Toby Wong. Toby Wong. Toby Chung. Fucking Charlie Chan. We've got Madonna's big dick coming out of my left ear, and Toby the Jet, I don't know what, coming out of my right.
Give me that book.
Are you going to put it away?
I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want with it.
Well, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to keep it.
Hey, Joe. Want me to shoot this guy?
Shit. You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
I'm really happy to be back in Calgary. I love Canada. And I just wanted to comment on how it's become like a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds. I don't know what that's about, but enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Nowhere in Mulberry. Boom goes the dynamite. Episode 146 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We're back. It's been a week. We took a week off for Thanksgiving, and I'm all hopped up on goofballs, I think. I'm acting a little hyper, aren't I, Steven?
A little wacky.
That's what happens when I eat Skittles right before the show. I shouldn't do it. You know, I'm all fired up, you see? I'm ready to do the show.
It's like caffeine.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Steven the pop culture zealot sitting to my left, right next to the Christmas tree. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful tree.
I put the lights on it. I let Heather and Emma do all the ornaments and stuff. Yeah, that's a hard work, you know. I have to put up the tree, though. But, Steven, welcome to the show. Hope
Thank
you had
you,
a
sir.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Hope you...
Nice vacation, too. I took away from work. I took off that week, so...
Really? And you know what I learned over Thanksgiving? You know, I'm 36 years old, I think. I'm not 37.
You're way old,
37.
Dude.
I can't remember how old I am. But I learned the difference between dressing and stuffing, because I called it stuffing... I always have dressing because it's not in the turkey. If it's in the turkey, then it's stuffing. But if it's never in the turkey and they just serve it on the side, it's dressing. Who knew?
It's stuffing.
Who knew the pilgrims even thought of that? And they were so technical. Yeah. Oh, we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
So who gave you the hard time about dressing versus stuffing?
It's one of my cousins, but...
Cousin's an asshole.
No.
It's one of those, like, those little stupid things that some anal retentive jerk off always picks a fight over.
It's just technical jargon, Thanksgiving jargon, I guess.
Okay, so why is stovetop stuffing called stovetop stuffing if it's not made in a
I think
turkey?
You're supposed to put it in. Hey, you're right. Hey, technicality. What is
it? I mean,
it's in a box, bullshit. So it's.
You can call it whatever you want, dressing, stuffing.
They made me feel stupid in front of my whole family. Hey, Bill.
That's whenever you go, well, you know what? Stuff it up your ass.
Hey, did you have a good Thanksgiving, Bill?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Welcome back, guys. I'm glad we're doing the show. We've actually been doing a lot of work this week, Bill.
We have.
I almost feel like we've been real responsible. Like, Bill, we can't play video games now. We need to be doing work, you see? But, okay.
It's just not right.
Let me just mention the Nowhere in Mulberry. Is that the name of our show? I can't say it. What the hell? The Nowhere in Mulberry holiday package. Now, what this is picture this big old box.
It's my package.
No, it's not Bill's package. Let's get that out of the way right away. It's a, think of a Christmas present all wrapped up. It's got a nice bow on top. What's inside? Open
Mystery.
It up.
You're going to have to pay to find out.
Now, I think I should tell people that it'll probably be out mid next week. And what we're going to do is donate to us a nice generous donation of $10 or more. And you will get access to the download page of these wonderful shows that we did just for you as a thank you for your generosity during the holiday season. Hey, I got that all out without messing up, guys. What do you say about that?
Nice
that was I'm going to tease this. Okay, last Saturday, let's go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, Bill. Last Saturday, we played the video game called Left 4 Dead. It's we've talked about it on the show. It's on the Xbox 360. It's a zombie apocalypse game where you play with four people at the same time and you kill zombies and all sorts of stuff. And it's a lot of fun, right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Bill, you watch like this video podcast of these guys talking about the state of the economy or something while they were playing. And you were like, we should do this crap, huh? We can do better than
these
guys.
We've been talking about it for so long. Andy would keep bugging me like, hey, why don't we record our play sessions? And then, you know, we could do that.
And we were trying to...
And then I finally saw that clip of them doing it on Kotaku, one of my favorite gaming blog sites.
Right.
And I was like, hey, we can do that.
And, you know, we'd always been like, well, we can't record ourselves talking on the, you know, on the Xbox Live. It just sounds like crap. But no, hey, what if we played while on Skype? Yeah. And you used, what program did you use to capture it or whatever?
I used ULEAD Video Studio. I have a video capture device by Canopus.
So basically, yeah.
My 360 up to it.
You recorded the video, and I recorded...
Video and audio.
I recorded the audio. You recorded the audio of the game. I recorded the audio of us talking. Then, and we played this long session of the game. You, me, Andy, and one of our listeners, Buggin. The Buggin
Who. Buggin Who.
And he actually didn't have Skype, so he's playing with us, but he doesn't say anything. So if I say anything about you, Buggin, I'm sorry. No, no, but it's funny. During the game, I was like, he's not going to hit that switch, is he? Because we couldn't communicate with him. But basically what we did is we did a session of the game where you can – it's basically us – it's a vidcast of us playing and talking to you, the listener, and talking about zombies and having a good time, having fun.
Yeah, it's the last half of the No Mercy campaign.
Right, and part of the holiday package is the video downloads of these. It's separated into three videos, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Three different video casts. You'll be able to put them on your iPod or video player. Also, there will be an audio file of it, an MP3 file, if you just want to listen to the audio of us talking and stuff with the zombie sound effects. But I tell you, once you listen to that, you're going to be like, I need to watch this. But that's really cool. That's only part of the package. And a little bit later, I'm going to reveal another part of the package, but you got to keep listening to the show.
We only show one nut at a time.
That's right. And I just wanted to get this out of the way, Bill. In the intro, I played a clip of this guy crying. Did you hear that? He's really upset. I don't even know where this is, but a library in this town is closing. And this news reporter interviews this guy who looks really upset about the library closing, and the guy cannot consult. What would you say? He can't get a grip.
He can't keep it together.
He can't keep it together for the interview about this library, and he's losing it. And you got to listen to this. I think it's hilarious. I just love the way he's trying to spit out something he's saying, and he just goes, "Ah, shit!" Just listen to this. It's great.
This obviously is affecting emotionally.
I am emotionally.
Talk to me a little bit.
Well, I grew up here. I live here. And I just played football here. No, I just don't. I can't believe anybody's going to close this damn thing down. And I'm a carpenter. I couldn't. Shit.
Got you that upset?
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding? It's like stupid. Why would they shut down this library?
You grew up with this library?
Oh, definitely. I grew up on the Decatur Street.
So you've been coming here your whole life?
Basically, yeah.
There's a guy. People in the background don't seem to be as upset as him.
High people were cheering it coming down.
What is he saying here when he's like?
I could. Shit.
Oh, all that phlegm and tears.
He's just. He's got spittle flying out of the thing.
He sounds like one of the zombies in Left 4 Dead.
I can't believe it. Why does he make it?
I mean, I can be seen being upset, but that upset over a library coming
in? upset because that's where he got all his carpenter books from.
I thought he said he used to play football there. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
I think in the town.
Oh.
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding?
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding?
That guy's genius. Now, and that won't be part of the holiday package unless people request it. But, we've got some voicemail here, guys, and one of them is the Mystery Man. What can we say about the loyal listener that is the Mystery Man? He's a mystery. We know nothing about him. We do
know. Because you can never hear him.
We do. Yeah, we do know one thing about the Mystery Man, is that he's ashamed of being a listener of the show, and he goes into a far-off corner, and he... Guys, I'm calling in Norman Mulberry. You know, he's being really
the first phone ever made.
He's whispering, in the phone.
He's a librarian.
Now, Mystery Man, it's time to come out of the Mulberry closet, and you stand on the desk of your cubicle and call in loud voice. Guys, this is me, the Mystery Man. Because after I play this...
I think he's famous, and he's putting like a sock or a towel over the phone.
Yeah, we know this is really Edward Norton, all right?
It's George...
Yeah, it's George Clooney calling in. So, and it's Jack Klugman, I think.
Jack Klugman.
No, his voice is gone. All right, Mystery Man, we're going to play your voicemail, and we're going to try to decipher it. Let's check it out.
150th anniversary show coming up soon. I think you have a responsibility to your loyalists
folks that have been
it's on an old phonograph.
Hanging in there for the past several years, who finally put on that Evil Twin episode.
What?
Huh? The Evil what?
He's challenging us to do an Evil Twin episode, I think. See, it all falls flat when you can't hear a damn word you're saying. All right? Come
so
on.
So what, we had to play Evil Twins of ourselves?
I think so.
We'd have to script that.
Yeah, and we're too lazy to do that. Hey, we got the NIMH holiday package. We got other stuff coming up. You don't want that. But maybe next year. Next year's holiday package.
200th anniversary.
200th anniversary, yeah. We also have another voicemail, and this is from the podcast Chinstroka versus Punta. And it's not punter, it's punta.
Punta.
Let's check it out. What does he have to say to us? And by the way, this sounds professional, unlike the Mystery Man. Mystery Man's crap. That's like an unearthed. What do you call those things? They're like on a cylinder, and you play it, the sounds on it. What is that?
Yeah, the old Thomas Edison phonograph.
Yeah, and what was that?
Yeah.
The old guy broke one on Call for Help.
That's what I played Mystery Man's Message on, is one of those. I unearthed it in my
backyard.
Stereograph. Yeah, something like that.
Yo, NIMH dudes!
Whoa.
This is Paul, the other half of Chinstroker versus Punter. The better half, if I do say so myself. Just finished listening to your newest episode. Thought I'd leave you a voicemail and just give you a couple of my thoughts. Completely agree with you on Fringe. I think it's a fantastic show. Is it just me, or does the guy that plays Walter Bishop sound a little bit like Vincent Price? But I think he's brilliant. I'm well into that at the moment. I love True Blood as well. It's a nice dark departure from what we usually get on TV. And I'm thoroughly enjoying
that
too.
Better than that Primeval
it's
show
just
you
a quick
get over
one,
there.
Just to say, loving the show. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Yeah, True Blood is a great show, and we'll talk about the finale this week since we took last week off.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was just kidding about Primeval. I just saw that on the BBC America.
That Fringe show.
You know what?
It's
not terrible, but it's not great.
Well, the problem is, okay, it's fine, except don't have CGI, because it just looks bad. You know?
Yeah, it's like any
GIs,
of the sci-fi.
I don't know what to deal with.
Well, what is that other spinoff? Torchwood.
Torchwood. Yeah.
Torchwood.
It's the Captain Jack Harkness
they have,
show.
Yeah, they have makeup, people with masks on and stuff like
that. Yeah.
And it doesn't look, it's just as bad. What am I talking about?
It's like Farscape.
Yeah, but still, it's almost like I can forgive it. But when you have bad CGI, it's just like too easy, man. Come on, come up with a bad mask. I prefer that.
The CGI actually doesn't. It looks like it's kind of floating there. And it's not really grounded.
But
I would much rather have bad makeup over CGI, because CGI just looks stupid sometimes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just watch any sci-fi original
movie. The CGI aliens in Alien Apocalypse.
Yeah,
remember that shit?
Oh my god. Well, guys, let's check out entertainment and talk about Punisher Warzone. I'm just kidding.
Burn it down.
Now, the reviews are not good for Punisher Warzone.
You're kidding.
Burn
in hell.
One review I saw, the guy said, I think it was Entertainment Weekly. It might have been. Who knows?
Thomas Jane get the script and go, fuck this.
No, well, he said he goes,
he went, I got to go do the Mutant Chronicles because that's much better.
Well, it's like each Punisher movie has been a little bit better than the last, so by the 10th Punisher movie, it should be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
The best part, I saw a clip of this on TV the other day, and it has Dexter's girlfriend in it, Bill. And there's a part where she's got a gun on the Punisher. She's like, hold it right there. You killed my husband. He goes, look down there. That's a satchel full of money. I'm here to help. And she goes, you get to kill my husband and then stop by the ATM and try to help out. And I was like, nice dialogue. Yes. I got to see this movie. You don't get to stop by the ATM. No. No siree, mister. But, yeah. I saw that he's also talking to a priest or something, somebody about God, and he goes, I'd like to get my hands on God. Whoa. Punisher, he's pissed, man.
I love movies like that where somebody gets upset at God.
Yeah.
And like starts throwing shit at a church or something.
Well, I think it'd be cool if they showed
on the radio. It's hilarious.
In the movie, he should get his hands on God. That would be hilarious. It's like, damn, the Punisher will whip.
Dear God is playing.
Yeah, dear God, sorry to disturb you, bud. But I love that actor who's playing the Punisher, so it just looks like ridiculous bad fun, and so I'll check
it
out.
What's his name, Ray something?
Ray Stevenson. And I'll check it out when it's on Xbox Live.
I just want a two-hour movie of him spinning from a chandelier shooting people.
Why do directors think that's cool? You're in this position of total vulnerability when you're hanging upside down, spinning around in circles with a machine gun. Hey, I got an idea. Lay down on the floor and go, bam, shoot him right in the head. Couldn't you? Because the remember when the Boondock Saints did that same crap? They were going back to back, like in Army of Two, and they're spinning around, going shooting a room full of guys. Did we ever talk about it on the show, Bill?
You know, I think we've mentioned Army of Two before, but we may have gotten into how homoerotic it is. I can't remember.
I'm not sure we did. You play this game where you're two soldiers for hire, and there's a very homoerotic feel to it. Because
oh, it's so incredibly
when
homo.
You get surrounded, you're like, go back to back, and both guys like hit back to back, and they're each, you know, it goes turns into a Tony Scott movie. Everything's bullet time kind of thing.
Still, my favorite is the parachuting
together tandem. So that they don't come apart.
Yeah, the best part, Steven, tandem skydiving. One guy's got a sniper rifle, the other one's wrapped, kind of hugged, you know, they're like...
So it looks like the
they're strapped together.
The duo on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Yeah, they actually have a penis car.
Yeah, and they say stuff about women like, ladies, lift your shirts, and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's in there,
oh,
and
so
then
trying too hard.
In between yeah. every mission, you go shopping.
Yeah, you do.
Actually,
and you can
stops the game.
Well, that's the thing.
So that you can shop.
Would
for
you
new
like
guns
to go shopping?
Bling it out.
Yeah, so you can bling out your guns. You could actually make your gun gold plated and put like rhinestones. You can bedazzle your weapons, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, Bill, this game's really gay. It really is.
Anytime we were playing the game together, we'd start going, hi, guys.
I want to see a movie of Army of Two, but they're just flamboyantly gay. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Or maybe the Boondock Saints was already that movie, wasn't it?
Domine Patriot Feeling, Spiritus Sancti.
That's the one they're making right now that I hope never sees the light of day.
Yeah, they were brothers, though. They weren't a couple. I'd rather see one with a couple. But
a gay couple.
Even better, incestual gay brothers.
Oh, no, that's just too much.
Mr. and Mr. Jones.
Yikes. All right, let's check out what's on our TiVo. Before we get right to it and talk about some of our favorite shows, you know... How do we feel about Bill O'Reilly? I really don't like the guy. He's
an asshole.
He's a douche. He's a tool. And but
fucking thing sucks.
Yeah,
he has great.
Do it live.
Well, do it live. Do it live.
But recently he had the guest Barbara Walters on the show, and you know she does her stupid show, The Most Interesting People in the World.
Yeah, according to Barbara Walters.
Yeah, according to Barbara Walters. And one of them was Tom Cruise. So Bill O'Reilly's giving her a hard time, like, Tom Cruise is one of your most interesting people. And I actually agreed with him for once, but let's check this out.
You know, why do I care about Tom Cruise? I mean, you know, so what? Be honest. Do you really think that Tom Cruise is... Look, look at this. Do you really think he's fascinating?
Look, we pick people who we think the audience is
interested. You want to get big ratings. That's why you pick them.
Do you not?
Do no, no, but I'm honest about it.
Well, I'm honest, too.
I'd have the 10 most pinheaded people.
Well,
no, but I want to know why you think Cruz
is
fascinating.
I think that he's a very interesting man in his private life.
And I'm sure most of the audience would agree with you.
Yeah,
I just,
I don't expect you to be turned on by Tom Cruise.
His fascinating quality escapes me.
Both he and Tom Cruise are both, that's going to sound very simpering,
about
trying to do
Cruise.
Good.
Will you stop with the Tom Cruise? Will you stop
just because he doesn't turn you on. Bill.
Hey, look, you if know? He turned me on, I have to move to San Francisco, all right? So don't want
to.
There
are some people who would love that.
Yeah, well, we
love the crew guy in the background.
Well, do it live!
Oh, Bill, you're so funny.
Fucking thing sucks! Yeah, the camera guy's like, oh, that Bill.
I'll keep my job for another week if I laugh.
There's gays in San Francisco, I get it. It's like, dude, that's a grandpa joke, right? All right. Also,
I do like the way he was badgering her, though.
Yeah, it's like, come on,
he was an idiot.
I mean, she was trying to answer, and he just kept interrupting. It's like,
yeah.
He should have said the reason why he's fascinating is because he's a lunatic. Scientology is insane, and
that stuff
you're
is
insane too.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's so insane.
You stop with the Tom Cruise.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, before we get to our favorite shows, I got to mention one more, and it's Paris Hilton's My New BFF, best friend, because they name a winner. But before before she picks her new BFF, she has to let another one down. And I just cracked up at the way this girl reacted to not being Paris's best friend. Let's check it out.
The girls are alone with their thoughts now. The question is, which one will I invite to join my world? And which one will I be sending home?
Dear Vanessa, during this experience, I've grown to care and I love you a lot. And I'd love to stay friends, just not best friends.
I don't really know what I'm going to do. Life without Paris is going to be so boring. She's been so much fun. She's so cool. I don't really know what to do.
Might as well kill yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just really upset.
There's loud music in this show.
The truth is, you won't be joining me in my life.
Her father's the library guy.
I hope you'll join me for our life together, because you're my new BFF.
I can't believe I'm best friends with Paris. I'm really excited. I don't have a best... Well, now I have a best friend. I didn't have a best friend.
Oh, whoa, that's a red flag.
I could... Oh, shit.
The library guy should be your new BFF.
Absolutely.
Gotta love that guy, man.
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding?
Yep. No, I'm not kidding.
You're Paris's new best friend.
Now, before we talk about the next show, Bill and I, we watched 24 Redemption. Did you get to see that, Steven?
No.
It was fantastic.
I wasn't a big 24.
It was fantastic, Steven. You really missed out.
It was epic.
And
Jack Bauer saved Africa.
Yes, he did. He saved saved the children. Save the children. But I will tell you this, that we're not going to talk about it on the show because there's a special show in the holiday package. Nora Mulberry does Jack Bauer. That's not the official title. No, Mulberry saves Africa.
And
how's that?
His stuffing.
NIM for Africa.
NIM for Africa.
No, how about Mulberry?
Bob Geldof hired us to do this.
Yeah. No, 24 Redemption, Nora Mulberry Goes to Africa, I think we should call it. Something like that. But that's also part of the holiday package. You want to hear Bill and I talk, and I'm going to say excruciating detail about 24 Redemption. Lots of clips, lots of awesome 24 talk, and
you learn that click-clack language.
And, you know, we get you all prepared for the new season of 24, so just be looking out for that. Now, before I move on to Top Chef Talk, I just have to mention this show right here, and I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm going to play this clip, and this is going to get everyone excited.
10 players.
The runners.
Trapped within a real-life video game.
Preyed upon.
Dropped into a virtual game board.
This is crazy.
Their only goal?
Gotta run. He's coming.
Survive. Standing in their way, elite predators.
The hunters.
Trained to seek and destroy.
Get ready. Get set. Go.
Front runners!
This show is called Chase, and the S is a dollar sign because you win money.
Because they're clever.
It's a bunch of people at Universal Studios lot being chased around by agents from The Matrix, basically. And
have like aliens and everything else.
What's funny is whenever they reveal that the agents, show what their specialities are.
Yeah.
The one that I want to see the most is the parkour one. But every time they reveal him, he's riding on a bike or something.
Yeah.
If you got a parkour guy, have him running around doing double Kong jumps and shit.
Well,
riding on a Segway.
I swear they have one that says sprinter and another one that says runner. I'm like, okay, are they getting a little
high-speed runner, sprinter?
Slow guy. It's like, oh, I don't mind running into that guy.
Slow but threatening man.
has strong grip. But Bill, when I first saw this, I was like, dude, Bill, you got to check this show out. It's so retarded. Because there's people competing, and they all have these iPhones. And the guys, the host of the show, I just want you to hear the rest of this intro. Because for no reason whatsoever, at the opening where he's describing the show, he gets in a helicopter. He goes, join us for Chase. And it's like, why is he?
That was their Jeff Probst Survivor thing.
Yeah, why is he in a helicopter? They never show him in a helicopter again. I don't understand it.
In this game,
he's there.
Staying alive is not easy.
Ooh, I'm in trouble.
Players must complete missions designed to test their nerve and earn themselves valuable utilities to fight off hunters.
Yeah.
One must survive for 60 minutes, locate the secret exit point, and escape first to win up to $50,000. The rest get nothing, but trust me. All of them will feel what it's like to be hunted.
Oh.
I'm Trey Farley, and this is my game.
Trey Farley? What?
Live action video game.
I think he's overselling it. What do you think, Bill?
Well, yeah. The first live action video game was actually on Nick Arcade.
Yeah. And he gets in a helicopter that goes nowhere. I think they thought it would be classy if he was in a helicopter. Like, it makes the budget look bigger on the show.
I think the funniest thing about it, the first episode, it was obviously the pilot, so they didn't have a lot of money for it. The thing, what is it called, the deflector that they can use to deflect
thing, if the agent almost gets you, you hit the hunter, I mean, comes up, you hit the deflector, he has to turn around and walk the other direction.
It was a gold spray-painted Wiimote. Because I was like trying to look at it, like, what the hell is that? And then I noticed it was a Wiimote with the grip on it, spray painted gold.
And there's this other thing, it's like one of those horns that goes, you know.
It looks like a shaving cream can with some tubing on it.
It's the Sonic Stunner. You hit it,
Sonic,
and they.
The Sonic Stunner.
And the other thing is a pair of sunglasses, you put them on, you're invisible to the hunters.
Mm. And the best part is whenever the people put the glasses on and then take them off because they can't see and don't realize that you can't use them anymore.
You know what's funny is I was watching this. I was at the computer and had it on in the background and was kind of turning and laughing about it and reading stuff. And then all of a sudden I realized my daughter was behind me. She was going, run, run! She was like really getting into it. Oh, no, he's coming!
Runner!
Yeah, so she was like, she's asked me since then, she goes, I want to watch the Chase show, the running show. And I was like, well, okay, we'll tag it next time it comes on.
But well, I know it was a Japanese
show. No, it's fun to watch.
That they brought over, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun to watch because it's so stupid, but it's...
Well, the people in it are just dumb.
The budget can't be anything, honestly, because they're just filming it on a lot or something, but...
They ought to have, like, a little, like, a layer tier game, you know, like Donkey Kong, and have them climb up a ladder.
I'm sure they'll
like Wipeout on ABC?
I don't know.
All right, let's...
Yeah, there's a show called Wipeout on ABC where on the final Wipeout course... The second thing they have to do is run up a ramp with barrels rolling down.
It's like Most Extreme Elimination, kind of American version.
Yeah.
Great show, guys. So check out Chase. I believe it's on
it's
Sci-Fi.
So funny. Yeah. I like the guy. There was one guy that decided to hide and wait it out. And there was a thing where about halfway through, you have to deactivate your backpack because it'll start to go off and alert all the hunters to where you are.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, no, I don't got to do that. I'm fast enough.
Yeah.
And that sucker starts going off, and he's like, oh, shit. Like four guys converge on him.
And no one, you can't outrun the hunters because they all look like track people. You know,
yeah, they all are. Yeah.
They're all wearing suits, but they all look like they're like real lean and fast. And
my favorite is the POV from the hunters, though. It's like some really bad heads up display.
They're called track stars, you know.
They got infrared. All right, let's talk about Top Chef, which is a great show. Last week they had the Thanksgiving episode where they prepare a Thanksgiving feast for the Foo Fighters. What'd you think of that episode, Bill?
It was interesting.
It seemed
they kind of went reality show on it and was like, oh, by the way, you only have 6 toaster ovens and 12 microwaves to cook in. You have to cook outside.
And also when they punished the losers, it felt kind of Hell's Kitchen-y to me. You know, the winners get to go see the Foo Fighters play. You guys have to clean up the mess.
But you have to wash the dishes and hear the concert.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, but what was that with giving them toaster ovens and microwaves? Is it just, I know it's to throw them a curveball, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? No chef in a restaurant is going to only have toaster ovens and microwaves. That was just tacky.
And also, I was surprised at that Ariana, whatever. She made the best turkey because I was ready for her to crash and burn, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then cut to this
week. And I don't get why they call her a cougar. She's frightening to me.
Oh, that word is so ridiculous. But then this week, you know, the same thing with before. You're talking about a chef would never encounter this. They have to prepare for this stupid Today Show thing where they prepare food. And I can understand you might do that eventually, but does that really make you a top chef if you can go on TV and do that? I didn't know.
No. It makes you Guy Fieri.
When you go on those shows like that, you're prepared and you know exactly what you're going to do.
Right. Now, what was don't help me, please. What was the quick fire challenge this week? Total Recall, man. Yeah.
What was the challenge this week?
The quick fire challenge. It was some kind of a thing called an amuse, something amuse.
Yeah, an amuse or something. It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful appetizer.
Oh, it was
bite.
A breakfast. Okay. That's what it was. A breakfast, but it was like a mouthful breakfast, like one bite, basically.
Yeah, one bite breakfast.
And I was wondering, what does that mean? But one of the girls said, nobody's doing this right. It's just supposed to be one mouthful.
Yeah, everybody was doing like two bites. One guy did like two different ones. On a big plate.
Oh,
and
he
was like, I guess I made too many.
And he said, I overthought it. Just like on the Thanksgiving feast, he did one too many dishes. It's like he's overcompensating. But
he's the Richard Blaze of this season.
But the one girl said that, the only one who said that they're not doing it right, she was the one who won that immunity.
Yeah.
And thank God she did because her Today Show thing, I don't even remember what she made. Do you? It was a disaster. She didn't get to finish. That's another thing. Basically what it is, Steven, did you get to see this week?
Not this week. I saw the Thanksgiving episode.
You're supposed to do a 2-minute meal for the Today Show on camera. Like, well, this is how you make it. You know how they do on those shows. And you only have like 2.5 minutes, I believe.
Yeah, it's called a demo.
Yeah, you do a demo. You show them how to make it. Then you let them taste it. It's finished. The only guy who thought to have a finished version and the one he was making, he goes, and voila, here's what it looks like when you're done, and taste it. I can't believe nobody else thought of that because you see that all the time when you watch those.
Right, every show.
Yeah, he goes, you just put it in an oven, and here's what it looks like. And they were able to taste
45
it.
45 minutes later, it's done.
Yeah, and the one girl, Ariana, what the hell is her name? who cares?
Ariane.
She made this weird watermelon thing.
It was watermelon tomato feta cheese salad, which I've actually had before.
And
it goes well, but it's...
Yes, she made it real quick, and she was great. They loved it, right?
Yeah.
And what is that blonde guy's name we were talking about? He did something with mushrooms.
I can't remember his name.
He was in the top 3, and the other guy who says Baba Booey, he's in there. I need to learn these people's names, but anyway.
I know, it doesn't matter.
Later on when they wake him up and they say, you got to get to the Day Show, they're going to taste your food or whatever, he was like, I'm screwed. They're going to taste a friggin' mushroom dish like at, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning. You know, who's going to want to taste that? Mm-hmm. And he was right because Kathy Lee spit it out, remember?
No, it was shrimp.
Oh, shrimp. Yeah.
Shrimp cabbage roll.
Well, let's check out this clip real quick, all right?
This morning on Today's Kitchen, Top Chef is gearing up for its fifth season, and this morning we put 13 chefs to the task of making a meal for us.
Chef and restaurateur Tom Colicchio is the head judge for Top Chef.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning to you.
Okay. We narrowed it down to three, and you're going to make the decision.
So we're making a decision right here, right now.
There's a lot of change now.
They're a judge on this one because I do not eat
a lot of
meat. Jeff and I are watching it, and you know, I'm first. And they try, and they're like, good. Meredith hates watermelon.
You just don't like it?
It makes me sick, Kathy. Like, we don't want to go.
She tries it without the watermelon, and they all seem to like it.
Love it.
So I'm excited, you know. And I'm just, and then I just
it
like,
just
you know,
didn't
what?
Seem if fair. Her win, meal was so boring, wasn't it?
The next water.
Yeah.
Is
I guess it tasted good. It's easy.
And roasted carrots and a little balsamic glaze.
Good for her.
I have no idea what's going on.
The lady are tasting my food, and I can't
oh,
understand
that guy.
What's going on.
The Italian guy.
And I'm happy.
All right. Yeah. So this is a good breakfast. Love.
Fabio.
This one is a sauteed shrimp cabbage roll.
Rub it in that.
There you go. Mm.
They taste mine. There's a couple mms. Ah, wow.
Can I do something with this?
It's shrimp.
And then there's like gagging sound coming from Kathy Lee.
Sorry.
I'm just spitting it out.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, guys.
You know it's bad when they play that Stevens song.
Wow. When you're a professional chef, somebody spit your food out, it's bad. It's really bad.
It's insulting is what it is. Couldn't she have just swallowed it?
Yeah, she is such a bitch. She does that shit all the time. She's got to take the attention off of what it's about and put it on her. She does that in everything.
I know. It's ridiculous. Now, I want to mention real quick, Bill, you and I watched this show, new show on Fox called Secret Millionaires. And
yes.
Did you see commercials for this,
I've
Steven?
I've seen commercials for it, yeah.
Where basically a millionaire, rich dude, he goes undercover as a poor guy, hangs out with poor people. Then it basically
makes a decision who he's going to give some money to.
Right, or how much. I think that they end up giving it to everyone they meet, it seems like, but it's just how much.
Yeah.
The first guy was a father and son. They meet this woman who isn't doing well because she had a lot of injuries and medical bills and stuff. And they meet this nice lady who takes poor people in and feeds them, takes care of all these children. So, okay, she deserves some cash, too. They meet this poor little girl who has who's battling cancer, and they're like, you know, I was just like, if I would have been rich, I would have been ready to just take care of everybody, you know, at that point. But they're like, okay, you know, it's nice seeing how the spoiled kid, he realizes that, man, it's just, my life is a joke, you know. I'm not doing anything. I feel like, you know, he felt like a loser, don't you think, Phil?
Yeah, totally.
And he wanted to make a difference, so they give the first lady $25,000 and the girl with cancer, her dad, $50,000, and the other lady, $50,000. And I was like,
no,
what?
$25,000.
And I would have been like, I would have said, you know, if I was rich, this guy talks about how rich he is at the beginning and shows all his property. He'd been like, I'll hand her all of her medical bills. Don't worry about it. Or something like that. I don't know why it had to be like $100,000. But
well, I think the show is that you give a minimum of $100,000. And the first guy just gave away a minimum. Maybe he didn't understand that you'd give away more than that. I don't know.
Right. Because I would have been like, why is $50,000? That's not going to take care of her hospital bills, is it?
But this, yeah, no, it wouldn't. That would maybe cover a quarter of it at the most. And I think this first episode was much more humbling than the second episode that they did with the restaurant owner. Because the restaurant owner just, it's like they didn't have their shit together. They just kind of showed up and helped people in New Orleans, and then at the end gave away money to the people that they met, instead of, whereas the first group, you know, the father and son actually had to go out and get a job,
They got emotionally involved with the people.
Yeah, they got way more emotionally involved in it because they were actually part of it.
Right.
Whereas the second couple were just living in a shitty trailer. That was it. That was the extent of how horrible everything was for them.
It's not like strung out over like several episodes where they have to decide. You know,
it's just self-contained. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
And by the way,
that's what I was kind of wondering, if it was, okay, at the end of eight episodes, they got to decide who they're going to give money to.
Right. And it's the same music as Kitchen Nightmares, exactly. They even have
it's embarrassing.
Because he's like, this will be your apartment. And it's like, wow.
Well, it's Fox, like a cat so, yeah, and heat sound.
Yeah, and Bill, we were talking about the slumlord of the apartment they got.
Yeah, in the first episode, the father and son get to where they're going, Imperial Beach in California, which is a really run-down, poverty-stricken area just north of the border. And it's also got one of the most polluted beaches ever. So there's all these signs that say, don't swim in the water. But they're looking for somewhere to stay. And they get to this place that looks halfway decent, and they ask if he has any open rooms. And he's like, yeah, sure, let me show you what I have. And he takes them to this room this apartment. It is just atrocious. There's rat droppings everywhere, holes in the walls, cockroaches all over the floor. And the guy says, you pay every day $50. As long as you can pay, you can stay that day.
$50 a day.
That's over $1,500 a month for this shithole.
Wow. That was crazy.
And that is a slumlord if I ever saw one.
Yeah. And so the second...
And it's that bad situation where people take advantage of desperate people.
Right.
So there's no way for them to get out of the situation they're in. Because they make money, and then it just people take it.
And that's the way – what they had to do is like, okay, we need to go earn enough to sleep here again.
So you can almost stay in one of those efficiency hotels cheaper than that.
Yeah.
I think they explained –
Yeah, they only gave them $150 for the week. That's all they had.
And the reason the town was so poverty-stricken is their beach – it was called Imperial Beach, I believe. It was contaminated water, so the beach was closed, and it just killed the whole town. So. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. But so in the second episode, they didn't even have the people do the same thing where...
No, not at all. It was a couple that were millionaires. The woman ran McDonald's restaurants, and the guy created a chicken finger-only restaurant chain called Raising Cane's. They made them go to a small town in Louisiana that was hit by Hurricane Katrina.
You've been there,
and basically,
Steven?
Yeah, I've been to Raising Cane.
And basically every person they visited, I can't say they were poverty stricken as much as they were just trying to start over again.
Right.
You know, there was a reverend, there was a couple that was trying to build a coffee shop. No, I don't think that's what it was like.
Oh, okay.
But, it's the people were deserving, sure, but that was nowhere near as emotionally involving as the first one.
Yeah, the first one, when they go to meet the girl with cancer, is like, I'm not going to cry, man, I'm not going to cry. But then you have to have
poor little girl, like 8 years old.
Just riddled with cancer, and then they have to have the stupid Kitchen Nightmares music. Okay, let's talk about something even better than helping... people who are living in poverty, and that's Heroes.
Oh.
I can't say much about Heroes, but I will say this. This week's episode was one of the worst ones that I've ever seen.
Ever.
You know, I can be in denial from week here to week. Oh, it's getting a little bit better, but... last week the eclipse happens and they start to lose their powers. Okay, first of all, let's talk about this. Okay, how long does the average eclipse last?
I know. Yeah.
15 minutes, maybe.
15 minutes? And these people are like, I lost my powers, Mohinder. You better find me my powers back. I don't know what I'm going to do without them. We're not special anymore. What are we going to do? And what happens?
Lock yourself in a room for 15 minutes. You'll be fine.
And by the way, how would they even know they didn't have their powers if they weren't doing something with their powers?
Yeah.
Couldn't somebody be watching a TV show? The eclipse comes and goes. They don't even realize they were gone. Because when the eclipse comes back, like, their powers come back. The dumbest one that I thought was hilarious is showing the Daphne girl in her braces and she's got her crutches. I was like, laughing.
Terrible palsy.
He's like, well, the writing is so bad on the show. When Matt Parkman sees her in braces and crutches, he already knows he doesn't have his powers. He's standing there and she walks in. She goes, Matt, I didn't want you to see me like this. What is his first reaction? What does a normal person say? They deduct in their head that her powers, where she could run fast, had something to do with her walking, and now she's on crutches. But what does he say? What are you wearing those for? Hey, Hey, great job, writers, you friggin' morons. Jesus Christ, can't you write out of your ass for a second? My God. Hey, I know. Let's get friggin' Seth Green on the show. That'll save heroes.
Seth Green and Breckenmeyer.
And Breckenmeyer.
Let's bring on the whole Robot Chicken crew.
I know. What the hell is that about? I mean, I...
Well, they're comic book nerds.
Yeah, right. Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry. I'm just getting upset. But anyway, also you have the Siler. He's now... he's found love with Elle, and they have sex, even though they just shot Claire, and she's been rushed away. They decide, okay, let's get busy. We don't have our powers. Let's have sex here on the floor. I love the way last week's episode...
How long does this eclipse last?
I don't know. It's an eclipse!
It'll last 5 days.
That's realistic, though. 15-minute sex, but... But here's what I want to know. Okay, the way the last week's episode ended, they're standing there getting all comfy, getting ready to kiss. Camera pulls back. HRG. Sniper scope about to blow them away. Cut to this week. They're naked on the floor, and they've already done it. I guess he lost his target. It's like, oh, crap. What are they doing?
Well, you know, when two people are screwing in front of you, you're going to watch before you kill
them. Yeah, he's like, oh, what's this? Focus
on not only am I crazy, I'm creepy.
L is completely shaved.
But how great was the scene when he shoots L and she's like, oh, in the leg, and they're running, and there's blood on the, and they go through the grocery store. I love how HRG chooses a box cutter to slit Siler's throat.
Yeah. That's another thing. Okay, Siler has your daughter's power. He can't die. So why would you ever just slit his throat?
And okay, HRG, they
cut his head off.
They've established him as a pretty intelligent guy, right? He knows all about these people with powers and stuff. He sees, my God, my daughter, she's dying in the hospital. Her powers are gone. There's an eclipse. Why did the eclipse take her powers away? What happened? Siler, he doesn't have his powers. Now I can kill him. So he cuts his throat. He's dead on the ground. He goes home. His daughter's back to normal. And his daughter starts in with, you left me alone to die. You should have stayed in the hospital. And he's, well, Claire Bear, I didn't know. Wait a second. When did your powers come back? Well, when the eclipse ended. He's like, oh, crap. Runs downstairs and this happens. This is awesome.
What is it? What's wrong?
Where's your mother?
She's with us.
Uh-oh.
Oh!
They got there fast. Oh, and I love that, too. By the way, Elle shows she has her lightning powers. She has to hold her hand up, like, every time, just like the mom. Jesus.
Stay back!
We're taking Claire with us. That's what we came for in the first place.
We're going to turn her stupid, just like us. No, she's already pretty stupid, dude.
Not a good boy, not exactly. Something else, something more, like you. Home, family, but not afraid to do the job I have to do.
Non-prescription glasses?
All of a sudden he's doing his keeping Sutherland impression.
I will go with you, okay? Just please, leave him alone.
I think this game of cat and mouse is over.
I talk like that too, every day in my life.
Only when I get really upset.
Steven, this cat and mouse game is over.
Arthur, Jason, and Angela, I got your files, Gabriel. You're not their son.
What?
They're just leveraging your mommy issues to turn you into their weapon.
He's lying. Don't let him get inside your head.
You know exactly who he is because you helped create him.
HRG turned him really fast.
What the hell does that mean? Don't let him get inside your head.
You really think you two can have a normal life? He killed your father, Elle.
Her dad was an asshole. I mean, come on, she'll get over it, right?
Ned Ryerson, for crying out loud.
And then here comes, because they established in the comic book shop that from the comics, Hero needs to show up and rescue Claire. Or he doesn't even know he has to rescue her. He just needs to take her away to this certain point where she sees her being handed off to Sulu. Sulu hands her off to her dad. But anyway, he shows up and then he's like, Batman, villain! And he takes him away and then he takes... what's her face away? Kristen Bell. And then he takes her away. And then on the beach, she's like, oh, what happened? Where he got away? oh, well, we can make out and stuff. We're on the beach. And he's like, no, I'm a bad guy again. But why? No reason. Just because the writers want me to be. Now I'm going to kill you. But why? There's no reason. And then he kills her. Okay, that's it.
Yep.
Great show. My favorite part is with Breckin Meyer. There's this rumor from one guy to another guy, a friend of a friend, who said that Isaac Mendez, before he was killed, he handed off the drawings to the very last Ninth Wonders. Is it Ninth Wonders?
Yeah.
Comic book. So if you want to find that courier who had that last copy, then you can see what happens. Who would pass that rumor down? And by the way, when you see the comic book in the...
It was the library guy.
Does it even look like a coherent story in those comic books that they're flipping through?
I mean, if you were reading this...
It would be like, what is going on in this stupid comic book? I don't understand. You know what? Go to hell, heroes. I'm sick of your stupid shit. But but Bill, let's go. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about Fringe. We're going to talk about True Blood. We're going to talk about Dexter. We're going to talk about Friday Nights and do it in like 5 minutes. What do you say?
Okay.
It's not possible.
That'll be easy.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back, everybody. Enjoy the break. You know what I'm saying.
Right, I couldn't. Oh, shit. Staying with Grandma is bunch of fun. Magic surprise for everyone. She takes you to places, the best ones in town. A little play, we'll turn that town upside down. Upside down, upside down. They got the nicest prices and selection in town. The place that makes faces and smile all around. Let's buy an play, we'll turn that round. Upside down.
Watch, watch, watch! Resist! A Merry Christmas!
Mary,
Yes, John?
I've been looking for a Christmas gift to tell you how much I love you.
Oh, John.
The limelight! A genuine swatch with genuine diamonds! For him, for her!
Oh, John, it's lovely.
The swatch way to say I love you this Christmas. It's a special limited edition. Get one now! Limelight by Swatch. Get one at Higbee! Yeah.
Hey guys, shouldn't be giving me a hard time. I mean, I may not be so big now.
But I'm drinking milk. Cause in these years I'm growing faster than I ever will again. And I need milk's calcium for bones.
And protein for muscle, more now than I ever did as a kid. In fact,
this is how I'm gonna look when I'm 19. I don't forget a name or a face. I'll probably have forgiven you guys by then.
But you never can tell.
Milk, it does a body good.
One cold winter's eve, Bertie and Grimace wandered McDonald's land in search of...
A gift for Ronald!
Got any bright ideas?
When lo and behold, a little star hopped from the heavens and twinkled down to earth.
Look, Grimace, a falling star!
Ooh, maybe we can catch it!
And so they did.
You'll make the perfect gift for Ronald.
The little star was wrapped and ribboned and given... But...
Oh, dear me.
Twinkle, it didn't.
You see, Bertie and Grimace, a star can never belong just to me. It belongs way up high for everyone to see. So let's wish him home where it'll twinkle and glow.
And so they did as they stood in the snow.
Look, the star's back at home in the sky. Good as new. And I have the best gift of all. Friends like you.
Happy holidays from McDonald's.
I'd like to bike, I'd like to pony, but what I love is my Thirstani. I like pizza pie, I like macaroni, but what I love is my Thirstani.
Now Sony makes small products for small people. Walkie-talkies, Walkman stereos, and cassette recorders. Specially made for kids.
I like Yoni, I like Tony, but what I love is my Thirstani. It won't be your last.
Hello, my name is Chris Reed.
How do you do? Crispy critters, cereal, and higher only new. It's indubitably.
Indubitably.
Delicious. Oh, here comes crispy critters. A good wholesome bunch. The low sugar cereal with lots of crunch.
Yes, it's indubitably.
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 Indubitably. Indubitably.
Indubitably. Both crispy critter cereal is part of a balanced breakfast.
Cha cha cha.
Easy does it. The tree will get trimmed, the dinner will get cooked, and the gifts will get wrapped if you take your time instead of a drink or drugs. Remember, easy does it.
Season's greetings in our souls.
The only fruity pebbles in our bowls. Oh, here comes you know who. Yabba dabba fruit, delicious do. Ho, 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 I'm hungry. Santa, my pebbles!
Your pebbles!
Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred. Rudy and Cocoa Pebble cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.
To learn more about the celebration of Christmas, the Library of Congress suggests these books: Celebrating Christmas Around the World by Herbert H. Wernicke, The Christmas Tree Book by Philip V. Snyder, and Guinness Book of Christmas, edited by Tom Hartman. These and many other informative books are waiting for you in your local library and bookstore. Visit them. They'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Ooh, something for Santa.
Look what I brought you, Santa. Holiday chocolate.
Oh, they're red and green. Mmm.
Mom brought them home for the family. Did I save that for you?
Holiday's chocolates. Delicious milk chocolate in red and green shells.
Now about my list.
There's nothing like holidays for your holidays from the makers of M&M's chocolate candies.
More? For Santa.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's great.
We sprinkle cinnamon and sugar for a homemade taste.
Part of this complete breakfast.
Happy holidays from Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Santa Bear Express.
It's Santa Bear, Miss Bear, and their airplane. You can win all three. Look for a winning card in specially marked boxes of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Or to enter free, write box 5464, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We won!
On the Disney Sunday Movie.
He's a solid 17-year-old, state-of-the-art, all-American boy.
A scientist has just come up with his greatest invention.
Hi, Dad.
Alan Thicke creates the ultimate kid, but he's not quite human. Sunday.
I love Alan Thicke. Jason Sievers.
Are you gonna have me some fun?
Oh yeah!
You suck your own.
Whoa! Hey, what's that about? Come on, buddy.
Hey, yo, scumbag.
Steven was like, "What movie's that from?" And Just One of the Guys. I watched Just One of the Guys on Netflix streaming. You know, they have it on Xbox now, and I was like, "Hey, I haven't seen this movie in ages," and it was in widescreen, Bill.
How That's sweet. Awesome. It used to be on HBO constantly.
That's so cool. I love that movie. For some reason, it's one of those movies you can just watch over and over again. It's so
sure.
bad.
And what the hell was that lady's name? Joyce something.
Joyce something, yeah. I remember she was on L.A. Law for a while, but the...
Joyce Great Boobs.
Ari Gross is one of the nerds in it, and I always love that part where they're separating them on the basketball team. They're going... like him and his nerd friend. They're never.
That is funny.
They're Trekkie geeks, and he's just like,
no!
Don't separate us. But all right, let's talk about Fringe. And was there an episode last week? Yeah, there was.
Yes.
There was the one with the razor blade butterflies.
Yeah.
That was weird.
No, it wasn't.
That was last week.
Well, I mean, it was the razor blade butterflies, but it was the fear.
Yeah, something that made you your worst fear kill you, and
yeah.
it was like your mind,
like the black guy from Heroes.
Yeah, but it's like your brain is fooled, and it actually hurts itself.
Yeah,
it causes pain, and that was a pretty good episode. From I don't remember any of it, but yeah, it was good stuff.
Well, the guy who wound up knowing something at the end got his throat slit by the dead guy.
By John Scott. And I love this week when Olivia says, oh, I remember that guy. They find a guy in a wall, like he was. These guys at the beginning had found out to pass through solid matter, and they only have a certain time of allotted, right?
Yeah.
One guy gets stuck in the wall, so they have to kill him, and they leave. And the next day, you know, the Scooby Gang finds it, the Fringe Gang.
Zoinks.
And she's like, I know this guy. I was in the Marines with him. And at first I was like, she was in the Marines? No one called that into question, but she shows up at the wife's house and she said, I had dinner here once. She's like, I've never seen you before in my life. And then she realized she's having John Scott's memories. Like, they're meshing with hers where she can't tell them both apart.
Yeah.
And I love that scene where she's hanging out with Peter doing shots and stuff, and she starts talking about the safety deposit box numbers. And, you know, of course, Walter is the best part of the whole show.
I love Walter when he was asking, Walter, if you were going to have a safety deposit box in Philadelphia, where would you have it?
Yeah, and he says, well, the only bank with safety deposit box is this one. But didn't you love his
And he goes, uh-huh.
Ah, very good. His experiment with the little man on the football game where
with Rice,
it vibrates and he falls in. He goes, I am now going to do my demonstration again. Would you like to watch? She's like, no. He has a smile on his face. But also I love when Olivia and Peter show up and he's asleep. And he's like, Walter, Dad, wake up. And he sees her there. He goes, oh, would you guys like to use the room? Like, geez. But this, I love this part right here where the no-nonsense agent that's friends with Olivia needs to ask Walter some things. And they haven't really had any scenes together. Let's check this out.
According to your travel records in 1985, you gave a lecture at Syracuse University. Now, these photos are of banks in the Syracuse area. Does any of this trigger anything in your mind?
Yes, but not about banks. Think back 20 years. Imagine yourself then, imagining yourself now. 20 years into the future. In your wildest imagination, could you ever think you'd be here?
Is he stoned?
You show him the other batch. Be patient with him. His mind works in a different way.
So basically, these guys are passing through walls of vaults to get these items in safety deposit boxes. And it turns out Walter realizes it's something that he created.
And he hid in these.
And he hid in those banks. And what it was basically a time displacement equipment, because he found out that Peter had this weird disease that only one guy had found a cure to, but that guy was dead. So Walter wanted to save his dying son. He was going to build a time machine, go back in time, grab the guy, bring him back to present, and help him cure his son. But he said before he ever got to use it, Peter started getting miraculously better. The doctors called it a miracle, so he just kind of tucked his time machine thing away. These guys are stealing it because, Bill, did you see this episode, by the way, Bill?
No, I didn't.
Well, do you remember a couple weeks ago, Olivia goes to Germany to visit that creepy guy in prison?
Yeah.
Well, this guy gets his lawyer to get him all this weird stuff, and he gets a suit. You know, go to my tailor, get this suit. And he shows up, and the guy kills his lawyer, takes a suit, and he's getting all gussied up. You see these guys who steal this weird time displacement equipment, and they're doing all this shit. I don't know how they know how to use Walter's stuff. Anyway, maybe they're following instructions from this guy in prison. They turn it on. All of a sudden, the guy in the prison cell teleports to where they are in America, and he's free from prison. It's pretty cool. And he's like, bring me Agent Olivia. And it shows her abducted by these guys, and basically it's a cliffhanger. She's been kidnapped. No one knows where she is. And this guy, this evil scientist, is now free from prison. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. I only watched the first half of it. And I just never got around to watching the rest of it.
What I think is interesting about it is they show how incredibly intelligent Walter is, but he's got mental problems and he's got memory.
He doesn't think linearly almost.
Well, you almost think of the massive dynamic is studying John Scott's, Agent John Scott's brain still, trying to find these memories. And he's like, they're not there. They're not in his head. Someone must have taken them. And they determined that there's a psychic imprint of Olivia there in his brain.
No, it wasn't that. It was the last thing he saw was Olivia.
Okay. And they know she must have his psychic memory or whatever. Well, I almost wondered, Walter, he can't remember a lot of the things he did. And this guy in prison knows how to use his inventions. I'm wondering if he did the same thing to Walter, but Walter wasn't dead. I don't know. It's just an idea I have. But anyway, that's just a cool show, and it's so interesting. And another show we don't give enough attention to, Bill, is Dexter. Am I right?
And yeah.
Dexter has gotten really good, I think.
It's gotten really crazy.
Because it started off with him with this, he made friends with Jimmy Smith's character, Miguel Prado. It was kind of weird how they became buddies and stuff, and slowly Miguel Prado's character turned scarier and scarier.
Yeah.
Till finally, you know, Dexter's like, well, maybe we could still be friends. I just need to learn how to control him. Until finally it snowballed where basically he's created a monster. He's created this guy worse than Dexter. Because Dexter, he only kills bad people. That's his
Prado will kill anybody.
That's his code. Prado will kill anyone that stands in his way. And just look at this nice rooftop conversation he has with Miguel. And you see how insane this Victor Cifuentes is, Steven.
Victor Cifuentes.
Let's check this out.
Think this funny?
Not at all. They said that stain would come out.
You. I didn't get to where I am, who I am, by letting some little gusano like you walk all over me. Where's my ring?
It's not your ring. It's Ellen's. Though you did leave a nice, clean print on it.
Oh, there's plenty of blood on your hands, too. I am the last person you want to quit, because I will...
You back in ways you never even imagined.
An anonymous tip? A couple of search warrants? Who knows what the police might find in your apartment or in that little boat of yours? You got the ring.
I got shit in all!
Wow, I didn't get it before, Miguel, but you can't be reasoned with, guilted, controlled. This whole back-and-forth game for leverage is pointless.
That's right. I'll do what I want, when I want, to whomever I want. Count on it!
I will.
All right. Well, at the end of that episode, Dexter is abducted by this guy they've determined is the Skinner, a guy who skins people alive till they die. That was crazy.
That's some nasty shit.
Oh, when they show him, like, the people who've been skinned, it looks so nasty. But on the scenes to next week, it shows next week on Dexter. It shows him he's in the trunk, and he's like, I didn't see this coming. And he goes, I am effed. Basically, and I thought it was great. And by the way, that Dexter clip already had the F-bombs cut out of it. Have you heard a sloppier F-bomb edit than that? I'm a genius at it, I must say. If you heard that Reservoir Dogs clip, it's just pristine, the F-bombs.
you're excellent at editing F-bombs.
I've turned it into an art because you still hear it, but it's like a ghost F-bomb. Like your mind fills in the blanks.
That's a ghost F-bomb.
Yeah, your mind fills in the blanks. It puts it in there even though you didn't hear it. It's I must say I'm quite brilliant. But anyway,
your mind fills in the vowel.
Yeah. So let's talk about Friday Night Lights. There was no Friday Night Lights. They decided they're like, no, Mulberry's not doing a show, so maybe we ought to just skip this week.
Yeah.
So that was really cool of them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And this week on the show, let's see. My brain, Total Recall. It's all coming back. I've jacked in. I'm free jacking Friday Night Lights right now. Now, let me ask you guys something about this.
For Mick Jagger.
How uncomfortable is it when Saracen's grandmother starts going off on his mom?
Oh, that's God, so is that bad.
And you don't want it. The lady, basically, she's senile, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has dementia. So you can't really yell at her. It will do nothing. It will do no good.
Her mood shift with the wind.
She'll just start crying. But I love what she goes, you both have been whispering about me in my own house. Or something like that. That was great. We also have Riggins. He's come home. And a college is interested in him.
And his brother got dumped by Andy, the dancer.
Mindy dumped him because he told her she needed to quit her job. That was a bad move on Billy's part, wasn't it?
Yeah, Billy went out.
She's
and
the only one making money in that couple.
Didn't you love that when Riggins, he comes home, he gets dropped off. First thing he sees is his truck crashed into something. His truck is totaled. He's like, oh, hell. He's like looking at it. His truck is totaled. So he walks in. His brother's just in like these bikini underwear. What the hell? Like Speedo
really
looking underwear.
banana hammocks.
Yeah, he's in a banana hammock, drunk off his ass, like beer bottles everywhere. He's like, oh, hey, Riggins. He's like, you're going to pay for my truck. He's like, Mindy, dump me.
3 days, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, he's like, I was gone for 3 days.
He's like, 2 weeks ago, you were proud she was giving some dude a lap dance and taking his money.
Yeah.
Now you don't want her to dance.
And then, okay, what about the whole Tara thing with Tyra thing, I'm sorry. The whole Tyra thing with her rodeo guy, Cash.
Yeah, Cash the rodeo man turns into a friggin' psycho.
It turns out Cash owes a lot of cash to some people because he's got a gambling problem. And he's like, just sit your ass down, Tyra.
Probably
like,
physically abusive.
Yeah, he's like, just shut up, I'm trying to think, kind of stuff. Like, all of a sudden he's turned into a dick. So she's kind of trapped there. What did she say she was at, in Dallas?
Yeah, she was in Dallas.
She's trapped in Dallas with not a penny, without a cent, because he blew all their money playing poker. There's that creepy scene where he doesn't have any money. He goes, I'm going to go get some more money. You stay here. Just sit down. And, like, embarrassed in front of everybody. And everyone's, like, looking at her and stuff. She's kind of like, you could tell she's ready to burst into tears. But I always love this.
Him becoming a complete asshole was kind of out of nowhere. I mean, it was hinted to, but...
Yeah, it was kind of sudden. I guess on the road, he's a different guy.
I was about to say, you kind of wonder now, is that chick...
Much
that
like
came,
Steve
that came
is
up,
a different man when he's on the road.
They came up with a chick that came up with a baby saying that it was his kid, you know?
Yeah, and watch it turn out to be a lie. I'm
sure it was a lie.
But also, you have the Dylan Panthers are going to be on TV. It's going to be a nationally televised game. Wasn't that what it was? Yeah, nationally.
Yeah.
And everyone's excited about that. I'm trying to think of...
Matt was put in at wide receiver.
Yeah, Matt was put in at wide receiver. What the hell, man?
Wide receiver.
Somebody slip me a Mickey during the break, Steven.
Those Lou Bowl.
So basically what happened is Matt, he's going to be a wide receiver, so the coach is giving him a full open tackle, so he's getting abused. And all that kind of stuff. Everyone knows what's going on there. He's just toughening him up for the game. But he's also planning a birthday party for Tammy. Well, not a birthday party, a kind of a birthday getaway at a hotel, right?
Birthday sex party.
Yes. And how
get there, there's champagne, chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, and he's like, oh, we're going to get in these robes. We're going to steal these robes. Oh, it's going to be great. We're going to get in the tub together. Bring. And guess who's on the phone? It's Tyra. Her mom's out of the... Huh?
He just kept saying the wrong name while ago.
Oh, it's Tyra. There's a Tara on Sons of Anarchy. But she's like, you need to come get me. My mom's out of town. There's no one to do it. And they even showed her call Landry earlier. And Landry's all happy. I'm going to be interviewed on TV. It's like she couldn't unload on him. Did you get that feeling, Bill?
Yeah, that she was. He was too happy to lay that on him.
She wasn't ready. Yeah, she's just like, I can't bother him. He's having a good time and everything. And she's like, oh, it was great talking to you. So the coach and Tammy have to go get her. And I thought it was crazy that he was freaking out when she was leaving. You come back here, even in front of them. And he's like slamming on their hood. And he's like, dude, let's get the hell out of here.
And, crazy cowboy, son bitch.
And you almost feel like maybe Tammy's going to console her, sit in the back with her, put her arm around her. But no, she looked pissed off at her for even getting in the situation. She's like, are you okay? She's like, yeah. She's like, okay. Just kind of like, you ruined my friggin' birthday. But the best part
was going to get sex.
Sex weekend.
But how great was this? Tyra and Mindy are hanging out, just bashing on the Riggins boys.
No, Lila.
Lila, sorry. I'm drunk, Bill, in case you didn't notice.
It's okay.
I've been drinking.
Just moderate yourself there.
Tyra and Lila.
It's a show night. I should be responsible. But Lila, she's drinking with Mindy, and they're hating on the Riggins boys because she wanted to give him an interview, get him an interview with this college scout. He blows it off. He gets drunk. She picks him up, and he smells like a distillery, so she dumps him on the side of the road. I love that part when she dumps him on the side of the road, by the way. He goes, I need a jacket. It's cold out here. It's like, it really is cold here.
He's so used to it.
He's just getting dumped out, but here's... Yep. Did you like the scene, by the way, with Lila dancing drunk?
Oh, did I ever.
Let's check this out.
I read this article in Cosmo. More pearls, less swine. It's all about bad dating habits and how to break them.
I read that one.
Shut up, that list of toxic signs. I swear to God, Billy's 10 for 10. Is he put his happiness before yours? Check. It's true. Maybe you gotta let the loser go.
Not yours. I think that's a great idea. I think that you should start. I think that you should move on. I mean, do you know how much time I have wasted on Tim Riggins?
Oh, yeah.
That I have to focus on me. I mean, I'm going to Vanderbilt next year.
Shut
so
up.
I can't. Yeah.
You got in.
No. But I will. So.
Okay. Well, I don't know where that is, but it sounds fancy pants, and I have a little present for you.
You know, I really like this song.
This is mom's favorite man-hater breakup music.
And it like, makes me want to dance.
Yeah, it gets a lot of playing time around here.
Okay. I want to dance.
Man-hating.
Then they start dancing. Woo! And I love
Billy. Dance with her.
Then you love Billy banging on the window. Mandy, open the door. And I love
that scene. It dragged on a little long, so I clipped it.
I love Lila. She's like, no, no, no. And he goes, I love you. You can take your job back. Please just take me back. And she's like,
yeah, that's all she wanted to hear was, you can lap dance again. And, I don't
and
care.
And she was like, oh. And Lila's like, no, 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 no. And
it's
she's
a
like,
trick.
And she was like, no one wants you here, Billy. Get out of here. Then, of course, after the big game, the Dillon Panthers win. Everything's happy. That scout approaches Tim again. He goes out with them. He comes back and tells Lila that when he said, up. He goes, I'm in. I'm in college. I signed some papers and stuff, but I think I'm pretty much in. Is that going to fall through later? Is he pretty much in?
I don't think they're going to let him go easy. I think the guy said that they had to rebuild their entire linebacking core and
they're pretty desperate, it sounded like.
Yeah, they wanted him, so.
I love the next day. It was after the Mindy thing there. I guess Lila goes home drunk and hungover, and she gets up, and Buddy's like, well, it's about time you got up. What have you been doing?
Already beer 30.
And she's like, oh. It's like, stop talking so loud. And then somebody knocks on the door, and he goes, oh, geez, I wonder who that is. I don't have any. I was like, I don't have any friends. Nobody comes to visit me. I think I know who that is. And, of course, it's Tim, but. When he's, I love when she like breathes on him. He goes, "Whoa, I just got drunk, like off your breath." I thought that was funny, but it's a great show, isn't it? But
he was more drunk than he'd ever been.
Did you see the scenes to next week, Bill? Because I'm
no,
not,
I didn't.
I'm not sure I even want to watch next week's show.
Why? What is it?
It's the coach talking to Tammy, and he goes, "I got to tell you something." And it's like, "Oh my god, next week on Friday Night Lights, what?" I caught Matt and Julie in bed together. And I was like, I don't want to watch this episode.
Oh, no.
And that's what's going to happen next week. Holy crap. Do we want to see that? He's going to kill Matt. He's going to snap his neck, I think.
Matt's hurting your shotgun legend.
You're dead, man. And I'm wondering if, remember, Julie is staying home with the baby while they're going
their sex weekend.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She doesn't even know they had to go get Tyra from Dallas. I bet they come home. They just come straight home. They're in bed together. Uh-oh. That's
good. Hey, it was a really good game. I'm sorry.
I was just excited. Let's talk about True Blood. I thought it was a pretty good finale to that show.
Yeah, I liked it.
We find out who the killer was. Are you glad we didn't spoil it, Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It would have sucked, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Did you pretty much have it figured out?
Some people were actually upset that it was Renee because he was such a peripheral character.
Well, some people liked Renee. I think there's certain times where they made him kind of seem like a gentleman, and he was like, he was the only guy that seemed nice to Bill and stuff, and he kind of tucked away the darkness in his head. And you know, I read the book, and it was pretty much just like that. Renee was the peripheral character. He was dating Arlene and engaged to her and stuff. So they just kept the same in this book, and I would almost say they improved on it by giving him more personality, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's cool.
And that stuff with Bill going out in the sunlight, did you like that?
Where that was great.
He's cooking
in the sun.
I don't
think we'd ever really seen anything like that.
Yeah, because, you know, some vampire movies, you're out in the sun, it's just like, and then you blow up or whatever. It was like Lost Boys. He totally would have exploded or something. Death by stereo.
And then they bury him and he
God.
Comes back.
Oh, don't you love that scene? He buries him or whatever, but later she's like, you're alive. And he goes, well, technically no, but I'm healed.
See, that's what I love about this show is that it's so tongue-in-cheek and that I read there were, like, people didn't like that. But I love that. That makes me laugh out loud. I love when they do shit like that.
Yeah, when I like a show a lot like True Blood or, say, like Friday Night Lights, I don't care what anyone thinks, you know, if I'm loving the show that much. You know, it's like, yeah. Bill, remember Sopranos? People were so critical of every single episode.
Well, that's they wanted the Godfather.
They wanted there to be hits every week, you know, the gang wars and stuff.
But stupid shows like Heroes is number one.
Yeah, well, I don't think the ratings
are low. It's probably Heroes number one on NBC. Is really low, right. low in the ratings.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, mainstream stuff that it's like something like Pushing Daisies, which is something interesting. It's
a smart show.
It's giving you something different, you know? Yeah. And you love it, Bill, but do you care what some guy says on some forum? Like, oh, it's kind of silly. I don't like how silly it is. I want it to be more serious or whatever. But it's like that with True Blood, that it's just kind of a... You know, it's what it is, and I like it for that. It's so different, you know? And I love all the different storylines and stuff. Not all the time, you know, the Tara stuff, always getting angry at Sam and, you know, like that. But I really, they do a good job of making all the characters interesting. And what about the ending where it cuts to 2 weeks later? And, well, first of all, it's that same night Bill comes back. You see that Lafayette has been attacked by something. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I want to know what he was attacked by. Because they made it look like he was attacked by a vampire, maybe teasing that Bill did it. Because
They do that same...
He shows up to Sookie's at the same way and then says,
yeah, that same fluid motion, like, whoo, flying towards him. He's like, oh, hell! And he's like, and then cut to going to Sookie's house.
Well, you know, when he went to the governor or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like a senator.
He kind of threatened him.
Yeah.
And then it happens after that. It's like
that's what I was thinking too.
So it was a senator who was also part of that Church of the Sun or whatever,
right?
The crazy vampire,
the Fellowship of the Sun. And Fellowship of the Sun. You know what? When you saw the painted toenails in the car at the end, did you know that was Lafayette?
Oh yeah.
Do you guys all pretty much?
It was a black person's leg and foot, and he had been painting his toenails. So yeah.
So that. It's going to be the mystery next season.
Lafayette is dead. Who killed him?
Basically, I think every season will have the mystery in it because Charlene Harris, the books are mystery books.
Is he dead? Is he dead?
Yes. Lafayette is dead.
Yeah. If it follows the book, then yeah.
I'll miss that character.
I know.
Him.
That's what's great. It's like the grand character, the grandmother. I loved her character. And when she died, it was sad because I loved her character on the show. That's another thing that's interesting about a show like this is I guess they're willing to kill off anybody.
Yeah, they're not afraid to kill off who needs to be killed off.
But it's a good show. I can't wait till it comes back.
That personality that's going to be missing from that show. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
and that's what's cool. It's like they'll introduce new characters. Yeah. I think that the character of Eric, the other vampire, I love that scene where he shows up at Bill's house with the girl. And he's like, no, wait, we had an agreement. And she's like, she is annoying. And he goes, I'll trade it for Sookie. And Bill goes, and he does it too. And you see that Pam, the female vampire, just kind of roll her eyes at both of them. But I love that.
They make vampires, but they're total guys.
Yeah, it's like, I love how they show their fangs or whatever. It's just so silly. But they hint that Eric wants Sookie. He just wants her for himself, you know. But
I think it's to be expected that eventually Sookie and him will become an item.
Well, one thing that I like is Jason having this turning over this new leaf, and he joins the Fellowship of the Sun Church. And
such an idiot.
He's like, I'm a changed man, Sookie. I'll be taking care of myself from now on. And he hops up, and he's like, bam, like trips. He's like, oh, I'm okay. Just as how stupid he is, but. I'm reading the second book, too. They are really good books, and I don't want to spoil anything, but...
What I don't understand is why he would... He befriended the vampire. Was it Eddie?
Yeah,
Psycho. And now he knows that there are good ones, but he... It's like he latches on to anybody that shows him interest.
Anybody who says, you're a good person, and you've got a lot of potential, and he's like, yeah, you're right. You know, yeah. He's like, easily, how did Sookie easily turn out the way she did? He turned out the way he did. I have no idea. But what, do you guys remember even what happened on Entourage? We didn't talk about that, did we? Where,
he got called by Marty Scorsese.
Right.
Well, that was the end of it. First, it was he was trying to get into the Gus Van Sant movie that was filming in New York.
Yeah, they go
Gus
back to Queens.
See him, didn't like him.
Oh, and him and Eric have a big fallout where he pretty much blames Eric.
And he fires him.
And he blames him for pretty much everything that's gone wrong. And he's like, I just wanted to give you what you wanted. He's like, maybe I shouldn't have what I wanted. And I would have been like, you dick. You know? Because I swear there's been several times he's like, Eric, am I going to have to get somebody else? This is what I want, you know? So, but I liked at the end when it turns out that Gus Van Sant, who's a horrible actor, by the way.
Questionable director.
But I mean, when he's like, hi, I'm Gus Van Sant. It's like, he didn't even say your name naturally. Come on. But he likes what he sees, so he gives the, I guess he's good friends with Martin Scorsese, which is probably a lie in real life. He gives him the real of Vincent, and he likes what he sees for his, what is it, a modern take on The Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
Yeah. They want him playing the lead character.
And so, and I can't believe Ari says this. He goes, you got to thank Eric. It's because of what he did. And he's like, oh, shit. So he's got to go thank him. But I didn't expect there to be a happy ending. I expected it to be like cliffhanger kind of thing in a way. Didn't
you? No, you know what? There's been enough negativity this season. It's all been negative. They've got to make it fun again, like
they
it
do.
Was in the first couple seasons.
I like the bet, I guess Johnny Drama can change his name back or something because of the bar. There was a bar bet or something. That's why he changed his name to Drama.
Yeah, what was that about? And they kind of just hint at that.
Yeah, they hinted at it, and then they wanted him to guess go in on the bar. Mm. He's like, I will if I can get change my name back.
And then what is the place called? Johnny Dramas?
Yeah, now they named it Dramas.
I like that. And, next season I'd like to see this. Vinny has made the movie and it's a big hit and they're back to, having fun again. I don't care at all about the turtle and storyline or whatever.
No, that's weak
it's
shit.
It's completely unbelievable.
I crap about Jamie Lynn Sigler.
There's no way she'd be interested in him anyway, Is that really?
I know is I saw a turtle in the god awful eagle eye, and I was like, "Hey, it's turtle!"
It's turtle. What? Turtles in that?
Oh yeah. What are you kidding?
That's what I sounded like after watching Eagle Eye.
Turtle can't
be. Are you kidding me?
Turtle can't be in other movies because he's just turtle. When I saw the trailer, I was like, "What's turtle doing in that?"
He's in it for like 2 seconds though. He's just in it for the opening scene playing poker with Enough LaBeouf.
You suck your own.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Bill, let's do some news. What do you say?
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I mean, sorry.
Oh, okay, Bill. Just so you know.
All right. You played a clip of it in the opening. Sean Avery making the comment about his sloppy seconds in Canada.
Yes, and I have a clip again if you want to hear it.
Go ahead.
All right. This is Sean Avery, a Dallas Star hockey player.
He's a forward, right?
Yes, he's a forward. He at one time dated Alicia Cuthbert from 24, cute blonde girl. He dated her.
Girl next
they're,
door.
They're steadies.
And got into a fight with a mountain lion.
Yes. and even Johnny Drama tried to abduct her in that season,
yes.
too. Man, I forgot about that. That's hilarious. But anyway, since she's moved on and she's dating a Calgary Flame player. And Sean Avery realizes that his ex-girlfriend's probably in the building. Maybe she's going to watch a play. I don't know. So he decides he's going to go to the press and cause a stir, and this is what he says.
You got a camera?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say one thing.
Better
No, everyone. I'm really happy to be back in Calgary. I love Canada. I just wanted to comment on how it's become like a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds. I don't know what that's about, but enjoy the game tonight.
All right,
then he just walks off down the hall. Like, oh, okay, thanks.
They were like,
so now he's been suspended by the NHL, not his team, but the whole league. and it's indefinitely. They didn't give him a time period or amount of games. It's
no, I heard what it was today. It came out today how many games it was. 6 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And here,
all right, so coach doesn't like him. The players don't like him. And he's just basically one big problem.
What's interesting about this is my team, the Dallas Stars, that we watch here. You know, we love hockey and everything. And Sean Avery's known as a dick throughout the league. He always has been. But you almost think that that's his on-ice persona. But in the locker room, he's just one of the guys. And they know that's the job he does. He's a dick to the other team. But he dies for his own team, right?
Right.
But what it sounds like is he's a dick to everybody, and he's kind of a prima donna is what we keep hearing. And I saw a TSN report where they got some quotes from the Dallas Stars players who didn't want their names being used, and they were like, I hope indefinitely means forever. You know, it's like we don't like the guy. We just want to be rid of him. This is the happiest we've ever been with him gone. So it's kind of like, damn.
Better team without them.
And at first you think about that someone who would say, you know, my sloppy seconds. Sure, it's tacky, but is it really a suspendable offense, really? It's kind of, you know.
No, it's not, but he's still an asshole.
Yeah, basically what I think it is, it's a way to get rid of him now.
It seems more suspendable because he went out of his way to find him.
Yeah, exactly. He goes out and goes, hey, is that a camera?
If somebody had come up to him, hey, what do you think of so-and-so dating your ex? Boom.
Yeah, and what I even heard is the coach, you know, they have PR people saying, hey, are you going to talk to the press? He said no. So they're like, okay. And the coach was, you know, talking to the Canadian press, who's, you know, they take hockey very seriously in Canada. It's a religion. Everyone loves hockey. It's like we are with football, the way media, you know, bothers football players. It's like that. So they're like, hey, is the reason the Dallas Stars aren't doing well because of Sean Avery? And he's like, look, you know, we win and we lose as a team. It's not about one player like that. He's a stand-up guy, and we're going to stand behind him. And then, like, not 5 minutes later, this guy's dipshit is doing that to the press, and it made the coach look like a jackass.
Sloppy seconds.
So it'll be interesting to see what
happens.
There
were some nice sloppy seconds, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just vulgar, the term sloppy seconds.
So what else we got, Bill?
All right, the best raffle ever held here in Columbus, Ohio. An Ohio State University academic advisor and real estate agent held a $10 a ticket raffle that offered an evening with a prostitute, but who's also a child sex abuse caseworker.
What?
Well, you know, you need to... I don't know. Christopher S. Johnson, 33, an academic advisor at OSU School of Nursing, organized a raffle through Craigslist.com. Real estate agent Rusty Blades, 42, held the invitation-only party at his house in October. Both Johnson and Blades were charged with promoting prostitution. OSU spokesman Jim Lynch said that Johnson was placed on unpaid leave and the school will investigate whether he improperly used his computer. Police detective Jeffrey Ackley identified Venice Dunn, 31, as the prostitute involved in the raffle. She has worked at Franklin County Children's Services since 2000, and court records show she was charged with prostitution November 12th for allegedly soliciting a vice detective. Wow, that's kind of a crazy match there. I work for Children's Services, but at night I work the streets.
Nice. That's
awesome. I wonder if she was hot.
Sloppy seconds.
Then again, a prostitute, that's like sloppy 15ths.
Yeah, it's definitely not seconds. If you
That's a demotion.
Good boy.
This is funny. In Pleasanton, California, a woman placed in handcuffs after being arrested by California Highway Patrol officers was able to climb behind the steering wheel of the patrol car and lead officers on a high-speed chase on the northbound I-680 until she crashed. About 3:30 p.m., a California Highway Patrol officer tried to pull over an Acura Integra. When the Integra's driver did not yield, a pursuit ensued with speeds of more than 80 miles an hour. The Integra exited the freeway out of control. The male driver and female passenger, both in their late teens or early 20s, tried to escape on foot but were arrested a short time later. Officers placed the woman in a patrol car before driving to assist in the arrest of the man, whom officers used a stun gun on. While the officers were occupied, the woman somehow managed to get her handcuffed arms in front of her, moved from the back of the patrol car to the driver's seat, and sped away. Officers pursued her at speeds exceeding 100 miles an hour. About 4 p.m., the woman lost control of the patrol car as she tried to exit. The vehicle overturned in the area between the off-ramp and the freeway. Officers then used a stun gun on her.
Nice.
That sounds like a full day of fun.
And they're like, dude, I got to use this again today? Woohoo!
They got to drive fast and shoot their stun guns. Don't tase me, bro! All right. Cape Coral, Florida. A 9-year-old boy takes his dad on a beer run. Now his father is charged with child abuse.
Oh, dear.
According to the police report, Joshua Fagan thought he was playing it safe when he says he was too drunk to drive. That's why he let his young son take the wheel instead.
Nice. Hey, he was responsible. He couldn't drive,
I
right?
love drunk logic. So Fagan is facing child abuse charges for letting his son make the beer run on Thanksgiving Eve. Fagan and a friend went out for a buzz instead of a bird.
That's clever, Ryder.
That's clever. Cape
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Ended the joyride after he saw the truck crossing over its lane and back into the median. When he pulled the truck over, he noticed a 9-year-old behind the wheel. They were three blocks from home. The report doesn't say whether the three made it to the liquor store, but an officer discovered an open case of beer in the truck's back seat. So I guess they
must have made it.
They were getting drunk before they even got home.
I'm trying to be a good boy.
Fagan told the officer he didn't do anything wrong. Caught with slurred speech and swaying while he stood, he was arrested for endangering his son. When Pat Altman heard the news, he was shocked. That's just crazy. And not being a parent, just a stupid idea. I got a 9-year-old, and I wouldn't let her drive.
Now, back off and let me pee.
According to the police report, he tried to get out of the truck and was caught with an open case. His neighbors say that he's a good father. They go camping. They go fishing. They love each other. I know he's a good father, but he probably stressed. He lost his job in construction. His wife divorced him, and he takes care of two sons. Oh, so that makes it okay.
You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
Yep. Okay. Continuing on here. A bicyclist who blocked traffic in the Jack in the Box drive-thru and... on Thursday, was arrested on suspicion of trespassing. The 24-year-old East Bremerton man told Kitsap County Sheriff Deputy that he was unable to drive and had ridden his mountain bike into the drive-thru to order some chicken strips. Why would you go through the drive-thru? Why don't you just park your bike and go in?
Were they Chipotle chicken strips?
I don't know. Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Hasta la luego. The deputy responding to a call from an employee found the bicyclist by the window speaking into a handheld video camera. When the deputy questioned him, the suspect said, apparently speaking into the camera, "The police are here." The employee told the deputy that the man had ridden up around 3 p.m., placed an order. The lobby of the restaurant had closed at 2 p.m. for Thanksgiving, and a sign was posted in the window to that effect. Oh, okay, so that's why he didn't go in. The employee said her manager had told her not to serve people on bicycles because of the safety hazard. She explained the policy to the bicyclist, but he refused to leave and told her, "Go ahead and call the police. I'm making a stand." That's what you make a stand for. A stand for chicken strips.
Hey, yo, scumbag.
Unbelievable. Wow, man. Come on. Those chicken strips aren't that good there. You got to get a burger at Jack
Hey, man. Maybe he didn't have turkey. He wanted some poultry. Have you heard about this? A Repo Man sequel is starting filming next month?
No. Who's directing it?
Well, Alex Cox.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah, it's called Repo Chick.
Repo Chick.
And it's being produced by David Lynch.
Interesting.
Cox has said that the follow-up will unfold against the background of the credit crunch and the subprime mortgage crisis in the U.S., where repossessions of homes, cars, and other forms of property is at a new high. The repo business has expanded to everything from boats, houses, aeroplanes, small nations, and children.
Will there be UFOs and stuff involved and mysterious cargoes?
Good Lord.
What do you guys, love the first, do you guys love Repo Man?
I don't love it, but I enjoy it. I own it.
I haven't seen it in years, but I liked it when I saw it.
Yeah. Also, Gibson has rejected the Mad Max script for the umpteenth millionth time.
Wow.
George Miller says he wants Gibson to work on it, but he didn't like the script that he wrote. And he's going to continue to work on it.
I'll do
so
what I want.
If Gibson turns
want,
it down, it must be bad.
Count on it!
Maybe it just needs to be put to bed, you know?
Well, Gibson's getting too old for it, but...
Yeah, it's got to be the son of Mad Max or something. I don't know.
Mad Max 4, Tomorrow Morrow Land.
Yeah. The son of Max. Some shit like that. I don't know.
This is important to me because... I always wonder when the holiday specials are on because I always end up missing them. They've published when all the airing times are going to be for them. So far, I've missed one, two. I've missed Shrek the Halls, which I don't care about. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which I think repeats on the 21st.
Hi.
Yeah. Repeats on the 21st on ABC. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Which they won't re-air has already aired on the 3rd, which
gotta
sucks
love that.
It's one of my favorites.
A dentist. Remember that he was speaking?
Yeah, that's so creepy.
Is that the one with Yukon Cornelius?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is.
Yukon Cornelius.
And then the little gay elf that wants to be a dentist.
I
want to
be a dentist.
I love that.
I've always had the ones we haven't missed are, wait, is today the 5th? Yeah.
Yes.
So I missed Frosty's Winter Wonderland.
No!
But on the 8th and on the 16th, ABC's airing Charlie Brown Christmas, which is a must.
You know, my daughter has gone through a Charlie Brown thing. She loved the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And I thought it was a little unstable when they're telling the story of the pilgrims coming over and all the all the death and stuff. And
I know.
I thought that was a little crazy.
Well, it was the 60s. It's what you get. The one I'm most excited about is A Garfield Christmas. I haven't seen that since I was a little kid. And that's going to be on the 9th. So I'm definitely going to check that out. I even put a clip of it in the break where he talks about the Christmas books that you should get at your local library.
You know, there's a NBC is airing this brand new computer animated Christmas story thing. Did you see anything about that?
No, I didn't.
Well, there's someone in the Hollywood Saloon forum. I believe it's Robot Porter does the computer animation, and his friend worked on it, and he was giving a heads up to everybody to watch it with your kids or whatever. And I'm going to check it out. And I'm sorry, I don't remember what it's called. But
I'm looking for it here.
It comes on the 8th, I think, next week.
Okay. Mickey's Christmas Carol is going to air on the 10th on
ABC.
I'm
really filled with information.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town is also going to air on the 10th. And is so that... is Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
Wait, is that Santa Claus is Coming to Town, that weird animated where they all have big cheeks? There's one.
Yeah, it's the puppet one.
I never liked that thing, whatever it is, but I do love all the Rudolph stuff. And they do the Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
I just don't like the newer ones. The newer ones are always stupid.
I loved all of those.
They picked on this guy, and in the end, he helps them.
Yeah, no, that about Rudolph I never liked. They're all dicks to Rudolph until, what have you done for me lately? What can you do for me, Rudolph? He can save Christmas with his light. So they're like, oh, you're cool, man. Sorry for not letting you play with us, you know, because you're the outcast.
Well, that's... I think Rudolph was kind of an asshole anyways. He really didn't talk. He just kind of went... that stupid...
What?
Nose thing.
He sucked him home.
Yeah. That stupid noise that he would make with the damn...
He did that...
Have Rowdy G in the chat room and the classic Santa Claus Conquers the Martian. That's not a classic. That's painful.
Yeah, that you can't even sit through that thing.
They even they redid it for Cinematic Titanic. They just released it a couple weeks ago where they redid it, and it's still as terrible as ever, with the full.
It's incredible.
You remember they MST, they did this weird like Norwegian Santa movie.
Yeah, that was bad. I have that one.
There's this part where I love where the Mr. and Mrs. Claus are fighting and they go, but the sex is fantastic. I always love that.
That's the one where the beginning has all these horribly racist like interpretations of children from different countries singing Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Awesome.
And of course, they're airing a bunch of cable shit like the Polar Express on ABC Family. TNT's doing a Christmas Story on the 3rd, the 8th, and then the 24-hour marathon starting on Christmas Eve.
I don't know what it is about the movie. I can watch it over and over again. Christmas Story.
I love that movie. I can watch it constantly.
It's awesome.
All right, moving on quickly. I'm just doing a lot of news because there's hardly any DVDs. ABC has put three new shows on its schedule. Castle, starring Nathan Fillion, a police procedural that is drawing comparisons to The Mentalist.
You know, I don't know what it is. Only procedurals are successful on TV, so might as well make another one. I mean, what are you going to do, right?
And this one just freaking stumps me beyond stumping. They have picked up Rob Thomas's Cupid again.
Yeah,
recast it with that Bobby Cannavale.
Cannavale, that's what I say too to his name. It's like Cannavale or something.
Yeah,
but you look at his name, it looks like Cannavale.
I saw a preview of it, and it just looks terrible.
I liked the first thing, if I remember.
Yeah, but it was all about Paula Marshall and
Jeremy Piven.
They're the ones that made it.
And now it's new people.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
But, you know, the Nathan Fillion, I've always liked that actor. He was great on that Firefly show. Do you guys remember that? I don't remember it either.
Vaguely.
Yeah, no one watched it. But he should be good in it. The premise is he's a mystery novelist, and someone's doing copycat murders from his books, I guess, and now he's helping the cops or something. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it'll be like a story arc during the whole season, who's doing this, and he helps solve other crimes or something.
Well, I'm sure he will.
The Mentalist, you know, he's after Red John, the serial killer who killed his family, and he's helping with other things. And I love that show, The Mentalist. I love it every week.
Yeah, I think every week it's just good. It's really well written, but it's written tongue-in-cheek enough so that
What I love is the... Simon Baker, the way he plays a character, he plays him so confident.
Yeah,
where
the guy's a genius as an actor. It's like I was talking to my dad the other night. He's got that air about him, kind of like an old Hollywood air.
Uh huh.
Almost like kind of like a Cary Grant.
He's got a lot of
thing
charisma
going on.
Yeah. Lots of charisma.
Yeah, I really, really like him a lot in the role. And that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I appreciate it. It's awesome.
I can't believe anybody's going to close this damn thing down.
Yeah, we got to close the news down, buddy.
Got to close the damn thing down.
Sorry, man.
I couldn't. Oh, shit.
Well, what do you say we do some DVDs? Maybe that'll help Library Guy. Let's do it!
DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition! DVDs!
Woo! DVDs! Yes! Woo-hoo. Awesome!
Oh, yeah? What are you kidding?
Yeah, DVDs, dude.
Not kidding. All right, DVDs for December 9th, 2008. Tuesday.
All right, what do we got?
Starting off with a movie that I vaguely remember briefly hitting theaters, Animorph with Willem Dafoe.
Animorph. Yeah. Is it about
people morphing animals?
Anamorphic televisions?
No, it's some sort of artist that's a serial killer in New York. He turns his victims into works of art.
Whoa, sounds good.
I doubt it, but...
I'll do what I want, when I want, to whomever I want!
I'll have to see if there's any reviews or anything.
You know, that just made me think of on the Netflix instant view thing where you can watch stuff on the Xbox. They had a movie. It's got a robot on the cover. It's called Transmorphers.
Yes.
It's like a Transmorphers.
It's so bad.
I love the title, Transmorphers.
We're not Transformers. We're Transmorphers.
Yeah. We don't transform like Transformers. We transmorph. That's
like
awesome.
Transmorphers.
It's like, what a bad title.
All right, moving on. The DVD of the week, The Dark Knight.
Ooh, I've heard of that.
Available on Blu-ray in a two-disc limited edition with the Batpod.
Nice. I saw that. It's cool. It's got the little motorcycle thing.
Yeah,
Batman
I don't know if
motorcycle.
It's worth $50, though.
No, nah, probably not. I just can't wait to see this on Blu-ray.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't even ordered it yet, so I'll probably buy it retail. I'll actually pay the full price to go out and get it.
I wanted to see it a second time in the theater, but never got to. I've only seen it once, and I saw it twice.
There's so much.
And I know there's so much that I missed the first time. You know, you got to let it all soak in.
Right.
It's so layered and what would you say? It's got so much information and different storylines, and I just can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
because I really liked it a lot.
Movie. Deadwood, the complete series, all 36 episodes on 19 discs.
Okay, now HBO series on DVD are always expensive, like The Sopranos and stuff. How much does this thing retail for?
Retail, $179.97.
Wow, that's expensive.
But you could probably get it for about $130 on Amazon.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid something inside me died.
No, I love Deadwood. I loved it so much.
Now, here's a comparison that's hilarious to me. Three discs, 23 episodes of Happy Days, the fourth season. How much do you think it retails for?
Three discs.
$29.
I'm going to say $25.99.
$42.99.
Wow. For that old ass show? Come on.
It's just bad.
I was a regular viewer of the Happy Days.
I would watch it. Well, of course I watched it in reruns. I don't think I was born yet when it aired.
And of course, you know, Happy Days started it all when Fonzie did what on the show?
Jumped the shark.
He jumped the shark. And that's where
he slept with Pinky Tuscadero.
That's where that term came from. So, But he's got nothing on the Nuke the Fridge, does he?
No, that Nuke the Fridge is something special. I actually like it better than Jump the Shark because nuking the fridge was just so ridiculous. Hey, here's a lead-lined... Oh, never mind.
Yeah. It just makes you sad.
I don't even want to think about it. Like, I was ripping the DVD so that I could do the riff tracks of it. And I actually gave up halfway through because the more I watched the movie, the more I hated it and didn't even want to see it with the commentary.
I was flashing back to...
All right, moving on. Horton Hears a Who Special Edition, the Jim Carrey, Steve Carell CGI disaster.
Has this already been on DVD for a while?
It just came out today.
Okay.
On Tuesday.
Okay, I was wondering.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Whoa.
And it's DVD and Blu-ray, so nice. Maybe it'll look good in Blu-ray.
Kung Fu Panda looked great, and I've yet to see WALL-E on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I picked up Kung Fu Panda, WALL-E, and Meet the Robinsons one day. They were on sale.
Meet the Robinsons is gorgeous. When he goes,
I haven't watched it yet. But.
It starts in the past, and it's kind of dreary, and you're like, oh, I thought this would have looked better. But it's waiting to show you when he goes to the future, and everything's all popping and dazzling with color. It really blows you away. It's cool.
All right, next DVD, In Hell, the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
In Hell? I thought that was Johnny Depp in that.
No, that's From Hell.
Oh, this is already In Hell.
Yes.
Where's Johnny Depp?
This is actually a fun movie. I downloaded it by recommendation of one of my friends, and it's Van Damme back in his element. It takes place in this Eastern European prison where prisoners are put against each other by the warden.
Back to back?
No, in death, like death fights for profit. And Van Damme is a guy that's serving a life sentence for killing his wife.
Oh, my God. So it's like Shawshank, but with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
It's like Shawshank, but with fighting.
Nice.
That's a very sexy thought.
So it's karate and Shawshank Redemption mixed together.
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, I'm renting that shit.
It's a fun movie. I totally recommend it to people. Hey, Lawrence Taylor was in it.
LT?
Yeah, LT.
Oh.
It's really not that bad.
Okay. I'm checking it out.
In fact, I'm going to go see JCVD this week at theater in Columbus. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah. That's the movie where Jean-Claude Van Damme plays himself and he's robbing a bank. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty funny. It's like he's hard on his luck, so he robs a bank. It looks pretty good. And isn't it in a foreign language?
No, it's in English.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind.
But it takes place in, like, the Netherlands or something.
Yo, this is, like, for real.
All right, moving on. Lost, the complete fourth season on DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm curious about watching a TV show on Blu-ray. I bet it looks great.
I might pick this up only because it's cheap. It's only about $50. 16 episodes, 6 discs. And it's got all, like, the extra special stuff.
What the hell?
So I might actually pick this up for Christmas because I really enjoyed the fourth season.
The fourth season was awesome.
The short fourth season.
Because, you know, they got right to business, you know?
Damn writer strike.
Next DVD is a documentary that's gotten incredible reviews called Man on Wire about a Frenchman named Philippe Petit, who was a tightrope walker. And on the 7th of August 1974, he walked between the World Trade Center towers. And after an hour of dancing on the wire, he was arrested, taken for psychological evaluation, and brought to jail before finally being released. And this documentary incorporates this guy's footage of that event to show the numerous extraordinary challenges he faced in completing the artistic crime of the century.
I've seen the trailer to that, makes it look incredible. Whoever cut that trailer did a great job of making you, like, very curious about it.
It's a Magnolia film, so I wonder if it's going to air on HDNet Movies first.
You know what I noticed? You can watch HD movies on Netflix through your Xbox, and they have like every Magnolia film on there.
Hopefully it'll be on there.
Yeah, I think it will, because they have a lot of documentaries on there right now. And I hope it shows up, because it looks really interesting.
Cool. Next DVD is the 2007 Academy Award winner for short film, Peter and the Wolf, the state-of-the-art digital technology and new orchestral recording.
I remember vaguely seeing this. Isn't it kind of weird looking?
Yeah, it's like marionettes.
Yeah.
But it looks really cool. And it's also a Magnolia film, so...
Nice.
There's a good chance it would be on...
That's a wolf sound, I think.
Oh, I thought it was a Muttley. And I just wanted to bring up a couple Blu-rays that were coming out. Dodgeball unrated, Dumb and Dumber unrated, Jet Li's Fearless on Blu-ray. It's already been on HD DVD.
Dumb and Dumber, I gotta get that.
Unrated.
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna pick that up, why not pick up The Mask on Blu-ray?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But the one I'm definitely gonna be picking up...
Super Troopers?
Yeah, Super Troopers on Blu-ray.
Awesome. I love Super Troopers. Oh, man. Heather loves it, too.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
I got to see that on Blu-ray.
And it's very cool. It's got audio commentary from the directors and co-writers. Audio commentary from... I think the first audio commentary is with Jay Chandrasekhar and Eric Stolhansky. And then the second one is Kevin Heffernan, Steve Lemmy, and Paul Soder. And awesome. It's a picture-in-picture commentary. So.
Oh, those are awesome.
I love that. I haven't seen... I'm trying to think of how many I've seen. I've seen some on Kevin Smith ones, and there's another one. I can't remember that.
All Rats had one. The Goonies had one.
Oh, yeah, Goonies. I love that one. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But you know what? Super Troopers, that's a must buy. You know how I was saying I don't really buy discs anymore, I rent them. That one, I gotta own it. Own it.
Yeah, I've stopped buying like I used to.
Yeah.
Slow down with your talking.
What?
Oh. Okay. Sorry, BC.
And that's DVDs and Blu-rays for this.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. It was awesome. And that comes out next Tuesday, right? Super Troopers? Nice.
Yes,
I can't believe anybody's going to close this damn thing down.
All right, dude. You don't do this after every segment, all right? Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
I love that guy. Well, thanks, guys, for listening to the show, episode 146. Remember, you can listen to us every Friday at 9, 8 central at nimchat.com. Come on down and join us. I'm not sure anyone knew we were even back this week, Bill. Were they? Anybody?
Yeah, we probably had like 8 or 9 people at the most in the room. Jay Crichton, 77, still in there. Rowdy G is still in there. Wit's Brain is still in there. Andy was in there earlier. Don Chep was in there. Yudanasha was in there.
Awesome.
I can't. You know, we had a good, pretty good room.
And you know what's cool about Left 4 Dead is that we've gotten to play with listeners playing that, and it's awesome. We played
played with Rowdy. I think that's Patrick.
Uh huh.
And the Buggin' Who.
And we played with Zell.
Zell, yeah.
That's really cool. And we get to talk to him, too, and just goof off and kill zombies. But before I go any further, NIM Holiday Package. The NIM Holiday Package. I almost wrote that where it looks like it says package. But anyway, what have I teased? Left 4 Dead video cast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Left 4 Dead video cast. Watch us play Left 4 Dead and goof off and talk about zombie movies and stuff like that.
24.
Or you, and you can also listen to the audio if you can't watch it on video. But you you can watch it on your computer too, right, Bill?
Yeah, you can.
Also, the 24 cast. Listen to us talk about 24 Redemption. It's a shocking movie and very exciting to see.
And you didn't tease anything else after you teased them that you would.
That's right. Also,
what
here
about the Lost?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I've saved the best for last. We also have the Lunchtime Show, the Lost episode. Hey, do you guys remember when we did the Lunchtime Show? And even if you didn't, it's basically Bill and I reminiscing about the birth of Nowhere in Mulberry. If you want to know where the name came from, the whole idea behind the show, why do the show, if you want to know who Foggy is and where he came from, you're not going to learn that. But still, it's interesting. We bring it up. But if you want to learn where Vanessa went, if you want to know, I know some people want to know this.
I'm not wondering.
Why did we know our listeners, Steven? Oh. Come on. I'm trying to sell this thing, Steven. Come on. You want to know, right?
Well, I'm here.
We also wanted to know this. The listener might want to know this.
Right.
Why did we really quit Talk Radio X? Huh? Did we really tell anybody? We were really classy about it, weren't we, Bill? We kept it to ourselves.
I think we were terrific about it.
We're going to let you know what it was like when we first started Talk Radio X, what it was like to do our first live show, why we quit. Hey, you even learned this. Andy shows up on this episode. He'll even let you in on something. Why Hollywood Saloon stopped playing on Talk Radio X and all that kind of stuff. So you get Andy's take on it all, too. So it's Andy, me, and Bill reminiscing the Lunchtime Show, the Lost episode, back at the Mulberry Town Mall. It's awesome. I'm really excited about it. I was on it talking, and I listened to it, and I was like, hey, I found this interesting. And honestly, I think we might have revealed too much, and I'm kind of embarrassed about it. But I'm putting it out the way it is. We're hanging ourselves out there. We're naked. We're in our banana hammocks. Oh, my God. Bad picture. Bad mental picture.
It's all about the Mulberry package.
And you will know things that I'm embarrassed that I even said now. So you got to see that. But that's not all. Wait, Steven, that's not all. That's not what you all get when you donate $10. We put together the first ever episode of the Mulberry Saloon. And Andy's checking with his lawyers, if we can call it that. But I'll tell you this. Picture my dad, who's been on the show. He was on the Lunchtime Show. Remember that, Bill?
Yes, he was.
We've called him a couple times. We talked about Iron Man before he came out. So some listeners may be familiar with my dad. He has a lifelong love of film composers, film scores, collecting soundtracks. And Andy loves soundtracks, too. He collects them. He has his favorite film composers. He and my dad get together and talk about their love of film music. And this is all one show of them talking about their love of film music and different composers and stuff like that. This is very, for people who are into that stuff, you're going to love
very
it.
Very saloony.
It's very Hollywood saloony. Very, kind of Mulberry mixed in there a little bit because I'm there kind of mediating, trying to keep them on track.
I was sleeping during it.
I've got a whip. No, stay on subject. No, but it's really interesting. It's all about film music. If you want to know about John Barry, if you want to know about Jerry Goldsmith, Danny Elfman, all those guys are mentioned. Even Harold Faltermeyer is mentioned on the show, Bill.
Awesome.
So that is the NIMH Holiday Package. You're getting all of those shows. By the way, that's three vidcasts, by the way. Three vidcasts, three podcasts, six things ready for your MP3 player, your video iPod, your computer. iPod Touch, your Scracko brand MP3 player like I have, 2.5 gigabytes, even though that doesn't exist.
I thought it was 0.5 gigabytes.
Yeah, 0.5 gigabytes. But seriously, that's our NIMH Holiday Package. It will come out probably Wednesday this week. Be ready for you to, all you got to do is go to nowhereinmulberry.com. Or nimlive.com. That leads to the same place, right, Bill?
Yep.
You see our page. You see on the right, there's that donate box. You donate $10 or more to support us helping us pay for Christmas to our family and loved ones. You know, Mulberry's my only job. I take care of a little daughter, my daughter, and you would
I
be helping
it was someone
out.
Else's.
No, it's mine. It's not like Webster. Doesn't call me ma'am or George.
You're not. Your George. Wife's not called ma'am.
Yeah, and I don't look like a retired football player. But wow. But I digress. Crazy references happening here. You will get access. I'll immediately email you, or you could email NIM Podcast going, "Hey, dude, I'm waiting. Where's my access to all these great shows?" And I'll send them out to you. All right. So I'm really excited. If you'd like to also leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. If you'd like to, I'm going to say put your phone on speakerphone and go stand in the closet and yell the voicemail to us. It'll sound better than the mystery man. That's a challenge.
So, poor guy.
In fact, I want this. Next week, on next week's show, I want the worst sounding voicemails you can do, okay? Just the crappiest sounding voicemails you could possibly do. And then I want the mystery man to send a regular one, and we'll compare them. I'm sorry. I'm just being a jerk, aren't I? I love the mystery man. He's a great guy. Isn't he, Bill?
I don't know. I don't know him.
Just based
could be
on
a child molester.
Oh, my God.
I don't know him.
What do you think of that about that mystery man?
Dick.
Wow. All right, guys. Well, that's the show, and I want to thank everybody for listening.
Shit.
Also, remember, nimpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next week, and I'm really excited. Aren't you, Steven? Woohoo! Woo-hoo. All right, have a good one, everyone.
I'm so excited.
I need to shut up now. I've been talking nonstop. I'm like on uppers or something. When did the downers kick in?
Skittles. Super high.
All right, guys, have a good one. See you next week.
See you, Bill.
I thought this game of cat and mouse is over.
I can't believe anybody's going to close this damn thing down.
Hey, what's going on, Andy? You there?
I missed it. It's over. I missed it.
You missed the show. The end credits are playing.
Can I break in?
Yes,
because
you may.
Now that I hear that you guys are going to charge for your show, I just wanted to say, see ya. I'm
oh no, we turned Andy off to the show. I'm sorry.
I've been with you
I'm
guys
waiting
for
your ad reviews on iTunes.
You see, now that you're charging, I'm finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, your regular show is still free.
Yeah.
Yeah, never. No, that doesn't matter. You're charging.
I'm sorry, Andy. This is an amazing development here.
You're charging. You're charging what? $2 a show?
But, Andy, you're technically.
How dare you, sir?
Wait,
good
Andy.
Day, sir.
Andy, you're
good
on
day,
the
sir.
Shows. You're on the shows, though.
You stole fizzy lifting drink.
I always love when Willy Wonka says, "Good day, sir!
Good day, sir!"
etc.
They had to scrub the fizzy lifting
walls.
I love it. Now, Andy, tell everybody what you're really joking about before we end the show.
I didn't want to break into the show. You guys are on such a cool thing, but, we've been this thing lately talking about, charging for shows or asking for donations for shows. And
yeah, technically it's asking for
really
donations.
I'm just going to tell everybody, this Mulberry Pack, which I've been, blessed enough to work on with you guys just a little bit. You guys have let me in the mix there. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's a Christmas package for Mulberry listeners. And, I will be so disappointed if I hear anyone bitching about that. Because, you guys have been doing this for 3 years. The saloon has been in business for over 3 years. You know, we're a week apart or something like that.
Yeah.
And, for anyone to complain, because I've, I've, I had three, you know, that we sold a package recently for $15.
Right.
And the majority of our listeners, of our intense listeners that are, you know, forum people and whatnot, they were happy to donate. And they donated over what we even asked for. It was very cool of everybody to do. And we were extremely blessed. And
yeah,
there was a
awesome.
Few people here and there around the bend that would say, "Well, I'm done with you now that you, you're charging. You know, how dare you charge?"
Right.
And just recently, I finally put out a thing on the feed, what, a couple days ago. Some people might have gotten it. And
yeah, you put out an announcement also for people who weren't aware of it.
For people, because, you know, I didn't want to leave anyone out who might want to get those things. And we've had, you know, quite a number of people since that time, since I made that announcement, that have donated again to get more shows.
Okay.
To get these shows. But there's that, you know, that distinct few people who get that little, knot in their drawers about paying for our shows.
Right. People are used to getting stuff for free. Yeah.
And to no extent, I mean, I'm really ripped about it. I mean, and it's like, I try to be fair, and I try to send back emails and say, "Look, I understand your concern. I understand what you're saying, but I think that this is it's gone a little off base with all this complaining, because, you know, you can't imagine. I mean, okay, let's just take you guys. What show is this that you just completed?
Episode 146.
146. Could you even imagine doing the math on the hours that you guys have actually been live recording, much less the pre-production that you do, much less the post-production that you do, mm-hmm. your own time and money, buying servers and whatnot, and you're going to tell me that someone's going to complain when you ask, you know, for a little something for a special package?
I
hope
not.
That blows me up to no extent.
Yeah, I think what happens is there's kind of a mentality now where everyone gets something for free. You know, you get your TV shows for free, and hell, with the internet, people get movies and music for free. It's just kind of, I want it now, and I don't want to have to pay for it mentality. And luckily,
right.
Andy, you had there's a lot of people that listen to your show that weren't like that, and they're willing to donate to get these shows and show their support. And I think some people are just whiner babies, you know?
Well, I think that's it. I think that, to me, well, and if you remember, go back in time to the days of Podcast 411 and Podcast Pickle, when you and I were becoming friends and we were starting to learn about the internet and what podcasting was and all that. And the podcast masters, and, you know, they wanted to teach you how to podcast, and here's the rules of podcasting. You know? And we kind of shat on the whole thing about program length. You know, it's like, oh no, you could only be this long,
right?
And it's like, you know everyone loves the fact now that they can plug us into their car, they can listen to us at work. You know, my show, your show, God, you guys have had shows way longer than some of ours, and you know, it's like, to me, if you like the show, more beef for your dinner. You know, and if you don't like it, well, either don't listen or pause when you have to get up and do something different.
Right.
And so we kind of trashed those rules and left them behind. And I think the new rule now that I'm interested in killing is this: you know, you can't charge for your work, because it is work. You know, and if you don't want to pay, well, then just don't buy it. You know, it's like,
right.
you can't go to the supermarket. You know, and remember, I told you this. I said, and walk in and say, "I'd like 3 eggs, please." Well, no, we don't sell 3 eggs. You can buy a dozen eggs. Well, no, I'm going to have 3, and if you don't sell me 3, I'm never going to come back again.
And I could get 3 eggs at home for free.
You know, you're talking about like free TV. It's not free TV, because the ads are being paid for. You're shopping off of those ads.
Yeah.
So in reality, you're paying for TV.
Right.
One way or another.
Exactly. Exactly, Stephen. It's the exact same thing. And it's like, we don't, you know, have the opportunity of advertising. Advertisers, you know, it's like you have to have so many gazillions of web hits before they will even, you know, jump on with you.
Well, early on, we had Grenadines, but, they left. They dropped out.
Yeah, I mean, the best I've ever been able to do with getting advertising was I was able to convince an internet web company, a toy company, to give us prizes to give away last year.
Yeah, and
that's
cool.
As far as I ever got. There was no money exchange, and I received nothing out of it. I just ended up paying shipping bills for all these things.
Right.
But it was at least it was a cool thing I could offer to our listeners, and it was fun. But you know, so we don't have that, and so then we get to this point where, you know, we start saying, "Huh, I wonder if we can do this." And you know, it's like I think probably people are a little more upset with me because the saloon hasn't come out with a show in, you know, plus 6 months or something, and okay. They think all of a sudden, you know, well, I want my saloon, but I certainly don't want to pay for it.
It's like,
well,
wait, now I can get these shows, but I got to pay for them.
I know. It's like you know what? Then just don't pay for it. Just don't listen to it, you know?
Right.
It's like, if you don't want this, just walk away. I mean, how many times have you seen some of the store and you just say, well, I mean, you don't even think about it. You pass right by the, you know, those, you know, whatever product that you don't care about. You
right.
Know?
The price on that is ridiculous.
Flipping
yeah.
the channel.
But see,
the
now
TV
we get these people who come on. Let's see, I got some on podcast. I got one on Podcast Alley. I got a couple on iTunes just saying, oh, now that you've made us pay, you know, I'm done.
Right.
You know? And
yeah,
it's just nasty. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
So we busted our ass for 3 years, 3.5 years, and this is what you're going to tell me? It's like, look, you don't have to purchase it. Just don't purchase it. You know, but you don't have to trash it.
Yeah.
So, but
honestly,
I
would say the majority of people had no problem with them. It's the minority that does, and no
it
one
is.
Listens
it really
to
is. I just don't respond well to criticism. I'm an ass when it comes to criticism. You know, we've done some SIB shows before where one person will do something and I'll talk about it for 45 minutes.
I can understand it for the longest time, you know. You know, we've had our show reviewed by people, and it's just like they're doing us a courtesy of reviewing it. And then if they criticize something, I'm like, son of a bitch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, and I mean, with this, it's just kind of like, look, and I think that the thing that if we continue with this, you know, my intent was never to lead anyone on to think that we were going to charge exclusively from now on out, that
right.
no saloon episode would ever come out again
yeah.
unless there was a dollar amount. To it.
I think some, honestly, I think it's like this. You hadn't done a show in a while, so people maybe
yeah.
check back once a month or something like that. All of a sudden they check and they're like, oh, there's new shows. Oh, wait, I got to pay for them? What the hell is this crap? You know, something
well,
like
know,
that.
It's really great because I got a lot of concerned listeners. Just wanted to let you know, I love your show. I've been listening to 3 years, but let me give you a little piece of advice. Maybe you should put out a show once a month, and then it would feel not so bad if you asked for payment. I was like, oh, well, thank you very much. I'll make sure and start doing that and getting those shows out once a month so you can be pleased with the fact of giving money. And it was like nicely worded and everything, but
right.
it was kind of like a backhanded compliment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love your show. Clack.
I love your show, but...
I love your show, but, and it's just like, you know, you don't have to love our show. And I'm to the point now, and someone else had mentioned, aren't you worried you're going to alienate new listeners? And I said, you know what? I've got 3 years of archives for my new listeners.
Right.
You know, I've got 37 other episodes that are 2 hour plus long that if they want to listen to it, they're welcome to listen to it. You know, are we on new mentality when it comes to podcasting now? Oh, no, I don't listen to the old stuff, only the new releases. Like, you know, the old days of Blockbuster when you wouldn't even look at the old movies.
Yeah.
Just only the new release rack. But what's new?
Just One of the Guys is in there. You got to rent that. That's an old movie.
Yeah, no, that's an old movie. Can't get that. You can only see new things.
Well, that's
Journey to the Center of the Earth, even though it's new and shitty.
Well, basically, I saw what you did, and I was like, we need to do that because, hell, I could use the money. And
here's the thing:
we could all use money.
No one stopped getting. No one ever stopped getting, and no one will stop getting. Nowhere in Mulberry, you guys are offering a bonus pack. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
a bonus prize. If you want it, here it is. If you don't want it, don't listen.
And I know people who really like the show will get it, and people
right.
that don't get it, you know, aren't interested because they're not that into us. So that's fine. It was put together. With love, tender love and care, some TLC from the Mulberry Bill from me. And, you know, I asked my dad to help. And
absolutely.
And I asked you, Andy, and I'm so thankful and appreciative that you helped with this.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's for people who really like the show. I think they'll get a kick out of it, you know? And
no doubt. It's gold in a box. it's going to be a good hit, good thing for the holidays. I think it should be a tradition.
When you open it, it'll glow like the suitcase.
My model for the future would be to always have bonus material.
Right.
You know what I mean? To like say, here's what we do normally. It's not going to change. But if you want to go deeper, here it is. And this will help support us. This will pay for overtime.
And we've talked about
if I want to go buy a DVD, I'll buy a DVD.
Yeah, and Bill and I have talked about that. Like, say, do commentaries every month, and it'd be nice to do something like that.
Jason needs some new headphones.
Yeah, generate a regular – hell, I just need to live, you guys. I need a manhood back.
Predator snort, distortion, a reducing microphone.
Oh, Andy.
There's all kinds of –
oh, you.
I think, you know, that's just what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there's those few – people who think that they have to state their allegiance to you at all times.
Right.
You know, as far as, oh, well, now that you've done this, I'm done. It's like, oh, before what? You every time we did a show, you pledged allegiance to the saloon. You know, it's just like, if you like it, it's there for you. If you don't, then ignore it.
Andy,
you know?
Where do you think the saying came from, don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out? That's all you got to say to those people, you know?
Right, and I'm not afraid of losing fans or listeners. If they don't like it, well, then, you know, I'm sorry. See you on the flip side.
Yeah, you just do the bye-bye. Bye-bye, you know, man.
And go enjoy, you know, the other film podcast. Go enjoy the award-winning Signal.
Did you see that?
Did you tell Bill about that?
I did. The podcast awards, where she didn't bother to ask people.
The 2008 Movie Podcast of the Year is... The Signal, according to the podcast awards.
Yes, the Firefly podcast,
there
once again.
There are an incredible amount of pathetic losers out there that
it won.
Listen to podcasts, apparently.
Come on, gang. We got to get those votes in so we can get Serenity 2 in theaters.
Exactly.
It's like, no, Nathan Fillion took a new job. He's busy.
Well, you know, that just proved us right, you know, when they started doing nominations. And we said, I am not going to rally my listener base to this damn site to get his votes, because there's no way in hell we can fight those militant brown coats.
We can't beat a fan cast.
They want another film, you know?
Fan casts win in every category, and they're in categories they shouldn't even be in. What was the other fan cast that won?
The entertainment one that you guys had been nominated for last time.
The Lost
one.
No, MuggleCast.
MuggleCast.
Well, yeah, but the year before, when we were actually nominated, it was the Lost Cast.
Yeah, we lost to a Lost podcast.
can we get a fan cast in here? Brain this podcast site. So,
create a fan cast category and let them all fight it out there.
Yeah, that would be a real challenge. They need one.
Then somebody who does what we do, a show that talks about these topics will have an opportunity to get submission.
But, you know, honestly...
It doesn't mean anything anyways. It's just a popular vote.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do we really want to bother our listeners to... Because we did before, and I apologize for that, and I'm glad people that did vote for us did, but you got to go to this website every day to vote for us? What a pain in the ass!
I remember when Firefly Talk won last year. Okay? It was The Signal, then Firefly Talk. In the movie category, nothing but fan cast has ever won since it's been in existence.
I liked Firefly. Does anyone care anymore? Come on.
No.
It's a good show. It got canceled. Right. It's over. Move on. Kaylee's on that Stargate show now. Come on. They've all got new jobs.
Yeah. So, it's still, you know, how much do you want to manipulate your listeners to try to get them to...
Right. I'd rather get our Mulberry holiday gift package instead. Show your support that way.
Yeah. Oh, if you vote for us, if you can prove it, we'll give you free 5 shows. Come on. I'm sure people, some people work that hard. I know, like I was going to say, Firefly Talk last year, they, for every day of voting, it was like 15 days, they had a show every single day.
Oh, great. And
every single day they talked about getting people to vote. It's like, well, yeah.
How can you talk about Firefly that much? I mean,
because they just make up stuff like
friggin' 13 episodes.
Brown
they probably
recipes.
Have like fan fiction lunatics.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. But they do.
Yeah, people were saying it's the home cooking down show with the verse. You know, we're gonna do some.
I mean, hey, it makes them happy or whatever. But come on, making these people vote for you every year for your shit. It's just cruel and unusual because you're selling these people on the fact that they might get more Firefly someday.
We'll start like our own little group for voting stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And,
but see, I wouldn't even bother doing that because it's like
You know what I'm saying. But you start your own.
That's
and
the thing. I admire this that they're still going. They're still trying. I guess.
Hey, more power to. Hey, if they can get another Serenity movie out, even on the Sci-Fi Channel, I'd be happy to see it.
Yeah.
But I just can't see how voting for this little show is going to give them that.
And have they listened to other podcasts? That show is so bad. The magazine format where you got 15 different people doing a 5-minute story.
I just like it when they're reading off their cards and someone says something that they think is cool and the other one goes, shiny.
Oh, my God.
Shiny?
That's pathetic.
Wow. Awesome. What are they going to do when Dollhouse comes out by Josh Whedon and airs for a month? I guess they can
Dollcast.
Start a fan cast for that. Yeah, Dollcast. Hey, let's do it before they do. We'll win an award. All right, Andy. Well, it was nice to talk to you again.
Sorry to go off on this vitriolic rant here at the end.
Quite all right.
I have told people that I've been privy to this pack. And it's going to be great. So
I hope people enjoy it.
Widely, people. It's worth it.
And the film music podcast, I don't know what it's going to be called yet. The Mulberry Saloon. I keep teasing. But it's all about the
Jansen
love of
Jansen might try to sue you over that.
Yeah, I think so. So
and basically what it is it's Andy and my dad talking about film scores, film music, it's great, and I think people will like it.
We had a great time. Your dad is really smart, and he really knows this stuff, and it was a pleasure and an honor to talk to him.
He was talking about what he loves to talk about, so he's definitely passionate about it.
it was great. I think, God, in the end, what was it, about 2.5 hours, wasn't it, almost?
Right, 2.5 hours.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it's a big, chunky, saloon-esque in length show.
And I just hope people love the hell out of it. So
God, I'm glad I slipped through that.
So everyone,
yeah,
be sure.
You can join that.
Bill, we're trying to sell this thing, remember?
Oh, sorry.
Nowhere Mulberry Holiday Package. Be on the lookout for it.
That's right.
All right, Andy, you take care. All right, buddy?
All right, gentlemen. See you later.
We're going to end the show now.
Woohoo!
All right, laters.
Now this is podcasting.
I'll do what I want, when I want, to whomever I want. Count on it!